Blog Talk Radio.
Ilanga lishonile, papa na masungu yisiko mozo baba.
zobaba zemula no moja.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. Okay, this here is episode 30 of season 8 of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Tonight's subject matter is presidential prostitution. This episode tonight is rated G for all audiences. No cursing or foul language will be tolerated on this podcast. We have a very, very special guest tonight. We'll be introducing him very shortly. And also, too, we'll be discussing the unfolding story of the hush money trial of Donald Duck Trump out of New York State. In addition, we will have an open mic about other current events around the world as they unfold. This episode is rated G, so no cursing at all. If you curse, you will be removed out of respect for Elder McChesnick, who I've unmuted his mic, and we would love to hear from Trump supporters and Biden supporters as well. Please share this link as much as possible. This is episode 30 of season 8. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. This episode is also being semi-cast on StreamYard, Facebook, and YouTube. Greetings to you, Elder McChesnick, and thank you so very, very much for joining us, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. Peace. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely, Elder.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, peace, love, and happiness. I'm happy to be on the show. I'm happy that you invited me. I'm here, so feel free to ask me whatever questions or whatever I can offer. No problem. I'm here to share what understanding I have. I'm here to share it with your audience.
Yes, sir, and thank you so very, very much, Elder, because you are my elder, Elder, and as you know, that I was a child during the Civil Rights era and also, too, during the Black Empowerment era, and we most definitely have the hashtag and a group called Resurrection of the Mental Dead. It's because due to the Ma'afa, and I'm quite sure, Elder, that you are very familiar with Dr. John Henry Clark and his excellent student, the one and only Ms. Marimba Ani.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the first thing, Elder, that I would like to ask, okay, with this current diabolical story that's going on out of New York State, what is your insight and also, too, your opinions and facts about Donald Duck Trump, you know what I mean, and with his presidential prostitution, and of course you do know with the Stormy Daniels case, and what they're trying to do is to get the Attorney General, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ali, what's the Attorney General's name of New York there, Elder?
Letitia
James.
Letitia James, yes. She's doing a very good job with the information that she gathered as far as bringing to the public attention and bringing him down and letting him know that nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law,
yes,
no matter how much money you have or who you think you are or who you think you want to be. Nobody's above the law. And she's using the law to bring him down to where he's supposed to be. For quite some time now, Donald Trump felt that he can do whatever he wants to do, and nobody can question it, and he can get away with it. Even when he was campaigning, he used to brag about he don't pay taxes, he can grab women by their privates, and nothing's done about it. In other words, he had the freedom to abuse and disrespect decent, respectable women. Okay. He has a garbage. You see, you can be rich, and notice, but you still can have a garbage can mentality. You see, he has a garbage can mentality. No class, no principles, no respect.
What
people might think he's intelligent, he's very ignorant. You understand? Because when you get to a certain point in life, especially if you've been a fool all your life or thought you was above the law all your life, everybody knows that a time brings about a change. And when the when you get to the crossroad and you do not make the change as far as trying to correct all your corrupted activities, and you still want to carry on with your corrupted activities and manipulating people, bribing people, buying people. In other words, use people for whatever low life activity that you might be involved with or participating in. You want to use them for your own advantage. And when it catch up with you, because everything that goes around comes around. So when it comes around back to you, now you you can't believe that. Oh, why me? Why me? Why you? Look what you've been doing all these years to other people. You understand?
Yes, sir.
And so at this point, he's coming down.
Okay.
According to the law. Tricia James and evidence that she has, and I have the utmost love and respect for her, that a female,
yes sir,
a female that he's been because he's been abusing, he has a reputation of abusing, disrespecting, abusing females mostly all of his life. Now here's a female,
yes,
bringing it to his attention that you're nothing, you have no class, you have no principle, you're disrespectful, and so forth. Now, everything that you thought you was that you used to do and was getting away with,
yes, sir,
now I'm bringing it to your face, and I'm using it to bring you down to the ground where you're supposed to be, like the little snake that you are crawling around, thinking,
yes,
that you can do what you think you can do what you want to do, and nobody would challenge you or bring to your attention. He was a bully.
Exactly.
I've dealt with bullies
as well too, is because when I was a child, you know, you brought back a memory to me, Elder, and I was a heavy set child, and you know, and these bullies always had their habit of hitting me and running and stuff like that. So one day, Elder, I got so upset. I told the ringleader, I says, "Man, be at school tomorrow, and I'm going all over the elementary school campus telling everybody, hey, I'm getting ready to smash this guy. I'm getting ready to beat him up. I'm getting ready to trash him." You know what I'm saying? So everybody's gathering around and what have you. And I put the work in on him, Elder. I really, really did. And so then, of course, the principal, you know, is going to take us down there to the office. And back at this time in California, they had what they would call corporal punishment, you know, to where the teachers could like hit you, you know, with a belt or whoop you or something like that, right? So therefore, you know, the principal had called up my mother, you know, and told her what it went down. She says, "Don't you touch my child, I'm on my way down there." And then she says, "This is the reason why you were so anxious to go to school this morning, because usually every other time, you know, I have quite a task of getting you to get up and out." And then too, Elder, and I remember looking at the AM Los Angeles show at that time, and they showed this young man up there who was combing his hair, who was doing all this talking, and I'd ask my mama, I says, "Mama, who is that?" She says, "Oh, that's Muhammad Ali." I said, "Well, who is he?" "He's the heavyweight champ, you know." And then she went on and told me, you know, Mr. Ali's story and stuff like that with the Vietnam conflict, as you very, very well know, Elder. But I am glad to see this guy, Donald Trump, you know, get what is coming to him. And I hope that on an intellectual plane is that Ms. James, the attorney general, I'll box him, works with him, go upside his dome, smash him, trash him. Yeah. You know what I mean, Elder? Yeah, most definitely.
She's doing a good job. Her reaction towards him is like a Mike Tyson. She's doing a Mike Tyson.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. And believe it or not, Elder, many, many years ago here in Sin City, known as Las Vegas, I met the former heavyweight champion, Mike Tyson, you know what I mean? And he had a fist like a vice, man, you know what I'm saying? And I says, "Well, you know, this man is dangerous, you know what I'm saying?"
Oh, yes, yes,
and what
yes.
have you. And then also, too, the, you know, how they go through extra effort to bring down black men. And, of course, as you know, as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing had stated, okay, and I see we have an unknown caller right here. And then, caller, if you want to join in on the conversation, just please press 1. We'd be happy to have you with us. Okay, and so then... And elder, as you know, they are trying to do now is trying to effeminize the black man. They already got the black man going through mass incarceration. They already got the black man, you know, up out of his, you know, up out of his household. Okay, bear with me, elder. Somebody has their hand up, elder. And of course, we don't know who this is, but the rules are very, very explicit. No profanity. You're speaking with Elder McChesnick tonight. Okay. Okay, unknown caller, your mic is unmuted.
It is a good thing that I'm not going to remain unknown for too long.
Sarge. Okay, Sarge, okay. Okay, and what we're having tonight, Sarge, we got Elder McChesnick with us. He is an elder. He's my elder. Okay, there's no cursing on here tonight, Sarge, and feel free to ask the elder anything that you so desire.
Now, what is that ever problem with me cussing, Shabaka? Come on. You know I don't play that.
Sarge, do you know how many back tapes I got, man? You know what I'm saying?
Now, not me cussing on your show. On others, yes. Not on yours. That's not true when you
okay,
know
okay, Sarge. Okay, well, I appreciate that, Sarge.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Due to all respect, when you're passing on information that's beneficial for the people, profanity is not even necessary.
Precisely.
Yes, sir.
But I'd like you to know, Shabaka, and those other places, I have to fight on a battleground I'm on. That's the way they choose to do it. And so I simply, look, when a person doesn't abide by the Marquis of Queensbury rules, I will pull out my brass knuckle. That's just the way it's supposed to be. You understand that, though?
Okay, well, you... Well, Sarge, you're kind of dangerous with a napkin holder, as you told us.
I am indeed.
Okay.
I'm dangerous with any weapon that comes to hand. Yes.
Okay, Sarge. Now, also, too, Sarge, you are a fan of this individual, Donald Trump. Okay. Elder McChesnick right here, you know, and with your permission, Elder, this gentleman, you know, is a Trump supporter. And Mr. McChesnick, you have the floor. And then we'll wait for Sarge's rebuttal. Okay, Mr. McChesnick,
okay,
please.
Okay. Well, my question is, being that you, you're a big supporter of Trump, I will ask you one question. What has Trump done for the minority, I would say black people? What has he done effectively for black people as far as education is concerned, housing is concerned, employment is concerned, entities that we need in the black community as far as daycare centers, housing, senior citizen centers, shelter for the homeless, you can have a laundromat, banks, library, recreational centers for the children, all the necessary things that we need to have a more respectable educational uplifting community that establishes love, respect for elderly, for the youth, for women, for the protection of the women and the youth and elderly also. What kind of program or what has he instituted for the community all over the country? Okay, regardless of race, color, creed, or religion, what has he established for black people that can give you the desire to feel that he's going to do something for you or your people?
All right, well, let me address those issues one at a time since you addressed them in ascending or descending order. Let me start with his support for black education, particularly that. I think that is something that is empirically observable based upon the record. President Trump did not cut. In fact, he increased funding for historically black colleges and universities. He met with the Congressional Black Caucus leader at the time, Cedric Richmond, and he told him that he was going to upset a lot of people because he didn't want to cut their funding whenever he was cutting funding to almost every other federal entity in the government. Now, they were upset that there was going to be an impending end to Title III Part F funding. So the administration worked with Tim Scott and Representative Mark Walker to get the Republicans to support something even better. They ultimately came up with a compromise bill that Trump fully supported and pushed that not only saved that funding, but it was the first time HBCUs got $255 million in permanent funding through the Future Act. President Trump kept his word. That's one thing. Number two, because I know Chewbacca will give me all night to tell you everything he did for the black community, but I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to undertake that task. Number two, he gave us an economy that not only increased employment for black people, one of the lowest come on, Nico, let me answer the man. The man asked me very specific questions. I'm going to answer very specifically. I'm not going to babble. I'm not going to just ramble. I'm going to give you specifics. He gave us an economy with less than 2% inflation, with real increases in wages across the board for all people employed, a stable economy with low inflation. That is a fact. There's no doubt about it. Under 2% inflation right up to the pandemic of 2019. He had a stable economy. Number three, he helped increase peace in the Middle East. The Abraham's Accords, whether you want to accept it or not, benefited all of us by having a stable situation in the Middle East. We didn't have any new wars. We didn't have any spending for any new wars. That meant there was more money available for the domestic sector. Donald Trump worked on working with any local entity that would accept his offers of assistance, like Lori Lightfoot refused in Chicago, the officer of the federal agencies to crack down on crime involving federal interstate commerce violations, you know, like interstate drug trafficking and the like, and any other assistance that federal law enforcement agencies could offer them. And those federal and those local and state entities that accepted the help saw a decrease in the crime, overall crime rate in their jurisdictions, which, of course, benefits the black people, because black people are most affected by crime, particularly violent crime. I can go on and on and on. With low energy, when you go to the gas tank, do you think black people buy gasoline? Yeah. I'm spending under $2 a gallon for gasoline when Donald John Trump was president of the United States. I can go on and on and on and on and on. He did nothing but good for the American people as a whole and the black community in particular.
Oh, my God.
But you still haven't answered my question. What about the housing situation? No.
Okay.
We got to talk about establishments.
Well, I cut my answers short because I know Chewbacca was champing at the bit to cut me off, so I didn't want to go on and on forever. I wanted to give a pause for a response. Now, when it came to housing, a stable economic situation, look, housing prices are through the roof right now. Nobody can afford a house now, to say nothing of renting apartments. You see, it's too many black people are so concerned about what is some Trump going to do, what politician is going to do just for black people. How are you going to target us and make us feel better by telling us you got a special program just for us? When you benefit the entire economy and you keep prices low, that helps black people. You think black people help by an 8% mortgage rate? Wait a minute. Are black people helped if they want to go buy a house by an 8% mortgage rate? No, they're not.
Under the Trump administration, you right there in California, you got a whole section of homeless people living in the street, and they've been out there under the bridge.
For you. That's California. You better talk to Governor Newsom. You better go talk to Gruesome Newsom about that, because he runs the state of California, not Donald Trump.
What? Okay, just a minute. No, just right here in New York, all your shelters is overloaded. You got people sleeping all down in Pennsylvania, in the train stations, all down in the Midtown, okay? All in the train stations, all on the buses, on the train, sleeping, okay? All the parks, sleeping, okay? You have a housing problem in New York and other areas, Chicago too, Philadelphia too. Homelessness all over the place because of the fact all the shelters are filled up. Okay, and that's why those who were still homeless had to sleep out in the streets. The crime rate was up. Crime rate didn't go down. It went up. You got young boys out in the street because when they come out of school and so forth, they don't have no recreational centers like they used to do years ago. Okay, and they can't get jobs. Years ago, they had when you was in school, you can learn to be an electrician, you can learn to be a plumber, you can learn to be a carpenter. All those different professions that you can learn in school, where you can come out and set up your own business for yourself. Okay, these was not instituted, and it still isn't. So I'm asking you, how does Trump's program affects? I'm gonna say the black people or minority people, regardless of race, color, creed, or religion. How do it elevate to a level where they can, earn a decent education, not just about politics or political or general education. I'm talking about trades. When I was going to school, you can go to school, you was learning. Electricity was being taught, radio and TV, refrigeration and computers, all these trades that was taught in school is not in there. And that's where the gap is at. You understand what I'm trying to say? And that's when the brothers come out. There's nothing for them to do. You understand? And that's when the crime rate comes in. Oh, the marijuana was going up high. Drugs were all out in the street. Okay? People was getting robbed and mugged and so forth. So I'm trying to say, don't act like Trump is doing so much. Oh, and what about all his investments? He was dealing with Russia? Yeah, business with Russia. Why, if you are the president of America, why are you having personal business programs going on, personal business, not dealing with America, with your personal investments in another country when you're supposed to be looking out for the country that you're the president of.
Okay, now understanding that I'm always limited in my ability to respond, given Shabaka's hovering around the mute button, let me try to address a couple of the things that you said. Number one.
Hold on, sorry.
See how quick that was?
Sarge dropped.
Sarge dropped. Okay, Elder. Yeah. So please continue with your lecture, Elder.
Yeah. Is he there?
No, he dropped.
He dropped.
You know, because but what happened, Elder, is that you came up there, man, with that sting like a bee combination, man. You know, he's in his corner, man. We're probably administering a standing 8 count on him right now. Okay, but however, though, he might. Hold it. I think he reappeared. Yeah, okay.
What you got to do? You hang up on me? What's up?
No, you hung up on yourself, Sarge.
No, I didn't. I cannot touch my phone because I am on an earphone. It's got like 16.
Okay.
I got a 12-foot.
Okay,
I couldn't even get near my phone. Hang it up.
Okay, Sarge, we're going to let the elder continue. Okay, yeah, go ahead, elder.
Okay.
I'm saying now he's the president of America, but he has all these personal private investments with Russia. How are you going to be having private investments with Russia, and you're supposed to be the president of America, and you haven't even solved the problems here in America that the people put you in position to solve? So I can't
that part.
See what happens. See what happens. A lot of people do. They get caught up in idol worshiping. Because he's a millionaire.
Okay.
You have dumb millionaires. You have unorganized millionaires. You have millionaires that don't know what to do. You understand what I'm trying to say? And that's why all they know how to do is get houses or cars and women and whatever drugs that they participate in. We're talking about reestablishing, building up the community for the minority of the people all over the country. And you have to, the only way you can build up the community, you have to provide the community provide the needs of the community. Now, every community needs supermarkets. Every community needs daycare centers. Every community needs home, a shelter for the homeless. Every community needs nursing homes. Every community needs recreational centers. Every community needs libraries. I mean, like years ago, they had the PAL. You understand? Every community, these are the needs of the people. Dry cleaner, barbershop. I'm not even talking about a dry cleaner. I'm talking about a block long, two blocks, a block
right. Long.
A block, a square block, a beauty salon, square
exactly.
Block. We talking about establishment where your child or my child, when they see things like that, they say, oh, my, when I get big, I want to set up a supermarket like that, or I want to set up a laundromat, or that's just, you know, and these entities is creating jobs for the people. Supermarkets provide jobs. Daycare centers, educational centers, yep. Recreational centers, libraries, all this is educational for the community and also providing
exactly.
Jobs for the community at the same time. Now, my question back to you, what programs did he establish in the communities all over the country that makes you feel, that he did so much for you? That's why you're going to support him, but you can't name anything that he done established in the community for the people. I'm not talking about China. I'm not talking about outside America. I'm talking about in America. You got people all over the country sleeping under bridges.
Exactly.
Okay. I think I just outlined many things that he did do for the black people. Now, if you choose to ignore them, you don't think that they were accomplished.
No, we didn't do what
I can't say anything about that. But let me go on with something I didn't mention mention that did benefit black people,
brother,
that in fact
brother,
was touted
brother.
As a benefit for black people.
When you're in position, young man, when you're in position over people, the foundation of the people is to satisfy their needs. They need food, clothing,
okay.
Shelter, recreation, education, library. Come on, training programs.
Okay. I understand the impulse. I understand the impulse toward that. However, the President of the United States, contrary to what people say about Donald Trump, is not a dictator. He is bound by constitutional mandates and separation of powers, which means that many of the things that you are complaining of are entirely the province of the states to correct. For instance, it is not the president's job to cure homelessness in the street. That is the province of the governor of the state of California and the mayor's. I can't finish my statement.
Hold on. No. First of all, it is the president's job. The president is the executive branch of the government. They allocate the federal funds so people can have a place to live. And since Reagan, that funding has been cut. Massively cut. So we have to get it back to pre-1978 levels. The president can do that. Also, why are we asking for something specifically for our vote? Why not? Everybody else gets something specifically for their vote. So what makes
that
this any different? And we're the ones that built the country. So we should have.
Thank you.
We should definitely be getting something for our vote. Go ahead, Sarge. What do you
got to
say about that?
Okay, I'll mute his mic. I think Sarge just got hit with a combination.
The state of California has the fifth largest economy in the world with a GDP of almost $4 trillion a year. And you mean to tell me they cannot accomplish fixing their problem with housing without federal funding? I don't believe it. It is not the president's job to cure homelessness in any state.
Sarge.
Well, the issue was California that was brought up.
Sarge, we're not even talking about California.
Sarge. You can't keep moving the goalposts on me.
Why should black people demand something for their vote?
You're moving the goalposts on me. I mean, the issue was about California. I'm responding to the issue of California. It was raised. The gentleman raised California. I'm responding to California.
One state out of the whole nation.
Okay, well, let me address that too. See, you don't even let me get out of the gate. I mean, you got to let me get out of the gate. I just started my argument.
Okay, hold on, Sarge. We're going to let you finish your argument. Then we're going to turn it back over to the elder. And keep in mind, Sarge, you're looking real bad here on these scorecards, man. We got
the elder
10 rounds.
No, I'm being shut down, man. The guy is holding, and you're not telling him to make a break.
No, this gentleman, sir, is hitting you.
No, I'm talking about Che. Che is doing that. Che is the one that's holding.
Wait. The same problem
okay, go
in
ahead,
California
Elder.
Is all over. It's all over the country. New York has the same problem California got. Homeless is all
mm-hmm.
over the place. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Poor housing. Landlords in New York
yes,
are burning
sir.
Up houses, burning up the houses, so you understand? If they can't get the tenants out the building, they burn up the houses so they can collect the insurance. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Because they don't want to correct the violations of the houses. Instead of correcting
yes,
the violations and making it livable for the people who are paying rent, they burn up the doggone house and collect the insurance and take a vacation.
Yeah, that part right there, Sarge. I mean, yeah, that part there, Elder. Okay.
You don't need.
Okay, I'm going to
unmute.
Yes, go ahead, Elder.
You don't need.
I have a question for Elder McKeesidick before
you don't need a president. You don't. Wait. You don't, anytime a president, a governor, or a mayor is in position, the foundation of their performance is to satisfy the needs of the peoples. And the needs of the people is food, clothing, shelter, and education and trade.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Elder. Most
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so far we're scoring this round
Elder,
here, 10-8.
I have a question for you. Is it true that New York State has rent control, or is it just in certain parts of New York State?
No, they have rent control, and they also have non-rent control. Condos, where you can buy your apartments.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Rent control comes under the heading of Section 8. Section 8. They have Section 8 program. Section 8, but it's limited. It's not for everybody. You got to go through different
yes,
channels
sir.
In order to qualify for Section 8.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
Elder. Okay, so I'm going to unmute Sarge, okay, because he scored heavily in that round there, sir. Okay, so we're going to wait. Give Sarge his respect. Okay. Now, Sarge,
man,
I
don't know how you can make a score. I only punched the 30 seconds of a three-minute round. How did you get a score?
Sarge,
how does
Sarge.
That work? All right, now, look. Let me go back. Let me go back. Look, the issue that was initially raised was the state of California. Now, if you're going to shift it to the general United States, I can address that, too. You've got 50 state constitutions. Okay, you got 50 state constitutions. You've got 50 different states. All of those states, every single one of them is sovereign in the things that the Constitution grants them sovereignty in. And it is not the purview of the President of the United States to interfere
yes,
in those actions if the President of the United States is not allowed to by those states. They have their own policies. They have their
okay,
own budgets, sorry. And they run. But look, before you cut me off again, let me go back to what I was going to say about housing. And that is, we see now the chaos that is being induced in all the big cities in the United States by this untrammeled, uncontrolled, illegal alien immigration, by this grotesque Biden administration, waving in at least,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the Customs and Border Patrol statistics, at least 11 to 12 million people in the United States since it started. They are displacing
mm-hmm.
the residents. They are kicking
mm-hmm.
out the
right.
students from the schools where the Biden administration mm-hmm. is housing them. And as a result, the residents of these cities, particularly in Chicago and in Philadelphia and in New York, are raising hell about it. Now, what Donald Trump did to help that black community that is now being hurt by this illegal immigration is to keep illegal aliens to an average, according to Customs and Border Patrol, of less than 20,000 encounters at the border a month. Under Joe Biden, it went up to almost 400,000 a month because he's allowing it, and it is hurting the housing situation in the black community with black people.
Let me go on to something else
you wouldn't let me address. There's something else you wouldn't let me address either.
When Donald Trump was in office, there was no homelessness. There was no people living on the street.
I didn't say that. Don't make a red herring out of my argument. Don't make a straw man out of my argument. I didn't say that.
Okay. Okay, what did you say?
All right, so look, let me go back to what I was saying a minute ago. What about the First Step Act? You completely ignored that. President Trump signed it into law in 2018.
First of all,
yes, you did. You did ignore. You didn't even mention it.
5,000 people were black. First of all,
most of the people that got released on that program were victims of Joe Biden's crime bill in 1994. Their commuters got commuted because of the First Step Act.
Okay, so
Joe Biden was the one to put most of them in the federal pen. Wait a minute. Biden put most of them in the federal pen.
A straight answer. How many of the 5,000 that were pardoned?
Let me answer the question. You asked the question. Let me answer it. 30,000 people whose release was expedited with their sentences being commuted by the First Step Act that Donald Trump signed into law and championed in 2018. Out of that 30,000, a plurality of them were black. I forget the exact number, but the plurality, the plurality of them were black from the federal pen. He got no authority,
so
at least from state pens. You do understand that President Trump has no authority to release them from state and local penitentiaries and jails. But from the federal pen,
Yes, he does. He can sign an executive order on that.
Now you're just making things up. Now you know that's not true.
No, you're making something up now,
Shabaka. You got to be ashamed of yourself. The president has no authority over persons that has been sentenced to prison under state law. He has no authority to commit.
If the president does not have authority to solve the issues of the people, then what do you need a president for?
Okay, Alder. I'm going to let him respond. Okay.
You guys are literally telling me that he's supposed to be a dictator. You are literally telling me he's supposed to be a dictator. Because his authority comes from the United States Constitution. There's a thing in the United States Constitution called separation of powers. It is a federalist system.
Sarge, you either pull the paradox or you pull the contradiction.
See, this is what I mean. You guys keep going on these tangents.
Just given right now was the justification for keeping slavery, chattel slavery.
Yes, that was exactly correct. Because the federal government had no authority to end slavery in the states that allowed it, because it was a 10th Amendment issue until the 13th Amendment was passed in 1865.
Sarge. Okay, wait a minute, Sarge.
That is the reason.
I'm going to put you on mute for a second. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute for a second, Sergeant. I'm going to get back with you. Okay, just hold on, Sergeant. You will get a chance to speak. Elder, okay, I got a question, that I've asked on this podcast before. Okay, Elder, when did we as a people petition the United States government to be citizens here, Elder?
Whoa. We've been doing that for the last 310 years.
Okay, okay. What I mean by that, okay.
We've been petitioning for the freedom, justice, and equality, and restitution,
okay.
That we are entitled to from the slave, from 310 years of free labor that they used us to build up the country.
Okay, okay, okay. Now, that there, Elder, holds a whole lot of water. Now, I'm going to let Sarge respond, Elder. And keep in mind, Elder, you know, we got you protected, okay, is because the chat room is blank. And generally, this is where we get all our hate mail. And I do have it out there. You know, the chat room is open for our haters. Okay, we're going to let Sarge respond to that there, Elder, because Sarge, you know, he has been coming on pretty regularly. But as you can see, Elder Sarge, Sarge, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, Sarge.
Okay.
Yes, okay, Sarge. Please respond. Sarge. Okay, his mic is unmuted. Okay, so we don't know if Sarge might be on self-mute or not.
I'm sorry, okay, I was on self-mute. Pardon me. I'm sorry, because I don't like any extraneous noise to filter through. All right, let me bring something to your attention that you have regularly decried on this show. You have regularly decried the racism and the horrible atrocity of the Dred Scott decision of 1857. Now, what did the Dred Scott decision say? Justice Roger Taney, whom you regularly refer to, you do, and you know you do, Justice Taney, wait a minute, let me finish. Justice Taney said that a black man had no rights that a white man was bound to respect, and that simply wasn't true, because there were black men who were citizens of the states in which they lived even before the 14th Amendment, because that's what Dred Scott said. He said he was a citizen of Illinois and Missouri because of the length of time he had resided in those two states, which were free states, and that made him a citizen of those states. And Justice Taney rejected that decision. Now, what did the 14th Amendment do? I mean, he rejected that rationale.
Oh,
right. Now, what did the 14th Amendment do?
Sarge.
The 14th Amendment.
What made him a citizen of
the
state?
Amendment,
we got the whole Dred Scott case. What are you talking about, Sarge?
The 14th Amendment. I'm trying to point out to you that black people were citizens of some of the states before the 14th Amendment. Now, here's what happened. When the 14th Amendment was passed, it reversed the order of citizenship. Prior to the 14th Amendment, the way you were a citizen of the United States to be accepted as a citizen of one of them several states. Once you were accepted as a citizen by them, then you were a citizen of the United States. The 14th Amendment reversed that. They said if you were born lawfully in the United States, anywhere, in any of the United States, you were a citizen of the United States at birth. And then you were a citizen of the state that you lived in. So you see, that's when black people became citizens. My point is that is when black people became citizens at that point, 1868, when the 14th Amendment was passed.
The only documents that you recognize you as a citizen of the United States is when you get a passport. The passport is the only legal documentation
establishes your citizenship. You can travel abroad. That's all it does.
No, I'm saying
it has nothing to do with your residency within the United States. Most American citizens don't possess a passport.
Sarge, you're going to go back on.
Sarge, all I'm saying is the only document that you have in America that specifies U.S. citizen of America is a passport. Okay? Driver's license is state. Everything else is state and city. But the passport is government. Where if you go any other country and you get stranded or whatever, you can go to the embassy of that country and they'll fly you back to America.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand. So you're telling me that without a passport, you're not a citizen? Is that what you're telling me? If you don't have a passport, you're not a citizen.
He's saying you have no way of documenting it without the passport.
So yes, you do. How do you think people get back when they go to consulates and they've lost their passport? How do you think they establish that they're citizens to be returned to the United States?
Because
they already have a record of the passport, Sarge.
Right.
Wait a minute. You just said you got to have the passport. So wait a minute. So let me get it straight. When I was a citizen of the United States and I was traveling overseas as a soldier, and I didn't have a passport when I got off the airplane. There was a loading officer there who told the customs official of the country I'm coming to that I'm a United States soldier. They didn't even ask me if I was a citizen, since I'm a soldier. Because some soldiers aren't citizens.
In words, I said document.
So what does this mean?
Document.
That means without that, you're not an American citizen. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Sorry, stop cutting off McKissick.
I understand what he's saying. He's saying that since this is what he says is the only document establishing your United States citizenship, which is not true, by the way. A DD Form 214 can establish that. A birth certificate can establish that. Any number of other documentation is acceptable to show you're a United States citizen. I mean, there are many documents acceptable for that other than a passport. That is one of them.
Birth certificates deal with the city, brother.
No, birth certificates deal with the county and the state. Birth certificates are recorded by the state. They're recorded by the Department of Public Health of the state.
But it's not government. The government document. We're talking about the government. The only legal document. Document of federal government that specifies you as a U.S. citizen is your passport. All you got to do is look at your passport and see for yourself.
I'm trying to understand what is your point. You're saying that without a United States passport, you cannot establish that you are citizens of the United States when most Americans don't have passports? I mean, I'm trying to understand your point.
The original point was we petitioned the United States government to be citizens.
You did that. You're not accepted. Documented. That's what specifies you as a citizen of the United States. That passport. That's like the icing on the cake. All these other little things is just pacifiers. But once you got your passport, now you're good. Completely. As far as government documentation.
Okay, Elder, I'm going to unmute Sarge and let him respond to your statement.
I simply do not agree that a United States passport is necessary to establish a United States citizenship. I don't believe it, and I don't agree. Because it is not true. There are documents that are needed to establish naturalization to become a citizen, but natural-born citizens are citizens that can establish their birthplace in the United States to two parents who are citizens, most of the time who don't have a passport. And that makes you a natural-born citizen.
Okay, show me another document. Other documents. Legal, federal.
We got another caller, Shabaki.
That states that you are a citizen without the passport. You are aware that
legally resident persons in the United States who have established legal residency in the United States who are not citizens can also get the United States passport. You understand that too, don't you?
All I'm saying is that a legal official passport is the legal official documentation that specifies that you are a full citizen. That's all.
Okay.
Because the people
were asking Barack Obama to prove his United States citizenship, he provided for us a forged birth certificate.
They told us that was adequate to prove that he was a United States citizen.
For the sake of argument, let's say it was a legitimate birth certificate, and only for the sake of argument am I saying that. All right, they said once he provided a birth certificate establishing his birth in the state of Hawaii. That was sufficient to show everyone he was an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural born citizen, eligible to be president.
Now, they gave Obama a pass because they wanted to use him to step back everything that the black people gained over the years as far as rights are concerned. They wanted to use to give him a pass to put him in position for us to lose everything that we had already gained before he became
president. Yes, sir. Speak, Elder.
And he put everybody back to sleep with a cell phone that worked for 30 days.
Okay.
All right.
He never addressed the black people's needs. His whole program directed was for the homosexuals.
This is Black Experience, Elder, educating.
Wait a minute, who are you talking about? Barack Obama? Yeah, he was a big time. He was the first gay president. That's what they had a Time magazine cover. They said Barack Obama is the first gay president. Remember?
They set him up and put him in position so he would be the one to sign gay rights and same-sex marriage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That part
right.
Elder.
I agree.
Okay, Elder, that's a very, very good point that you brought up, Elder, is because when they was having these questionable police killings from Mike Brown to Trayvon Martin to Sandra Bland, you know what I mean? And then he was over there, man, in Kenya, Elder, as you know, President Kenyatta had stated, okay, Mr. President of the United States, welcome to your ancestral land. We're happy to have you here. What does this dude get up there and start talking about, Elder? Talking about an alphabetized agenda. And the president of Kenya said, Mr. President, I am shutting you down, man, because, see, we place great emphasis on the procreation of life, and that there only happens between a union between man and woman. So I'm going to have to ask you to leave. So when Obama was on Air Force One on his way to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the head of state of Ethiopia called him up on Air Force One and said, hey, Mr. President, we heard about your escapade there in Nairobi. So therefore, man, we got rid of the honor guard for you that we were going to have. Don't even bother landing here.
Right.
You see what I mean? And then, of course, as you know, Elder, and I want to get this here out there, Elder, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, okay, is that President Museveni of Uganda, about what was that, Brother Taylor, less than 2 months ago when Biden had sent one of his representatives over there and told the President Museveni, well, if you don't accept this alphabetized agenda, we'll cut off your aid. And President Museveni told him, hey, man, check this out. We don't do that here, man. And as a matter of fact, man, you can take your aid with you, and man, and we're shutting you down. Yep. We don't do that here. Go back to Europe with that. Go back to them caves, and also to Elder. Please emphasize to Sarge that I've tried to tell him for the last 2 years now about how the Caucasoid was living in the caves while we were building pyramids, circumnavigating the globe, and also to developing the concepts of calculus, geometry, trigonometry, medicine, and bombing our dead. Please speak, Elder, and drop knowledge.
Right. Right. And they peeped his weakness when he joined the Christian church. Now, his father was an African, right? Obama Hussein, you know, his full name, African name and everything. He joins the Christian, how are you going to become a Christian with an original name? Okay.
Right.
And then they had a great. And then now, if you're a homosexual, the first gay president, supposed to be married, and your wife, you're in the same bed together. So if you're a homosexual and that's accepted by her, and you got two daughters, and you go and your whole mission is to get to the point where you can sign this gay rights and same-sex marriage, then you're putting your daughters in position where they can marry their little girlfriends. Or your wife can start making love.
Well,
or your wife can make love
to
the man.
You know
okay,
what they said about that? They said that we didn't
if your daughter comes to you and says, "Daddy, me and my girlfriend is getting married," how would you react to that? Can you say no? Can you say no when you don't sign the gay rights and same-sex marriage? Now, when you sign that same-sex marriage and gay rights, let me know what you're trying to do. You're trying to wipe out civilization. Because
we got agreement on that one.
Wait a minute. There's no production, so where's the next generation?
Well, we got agreement
exactly.
there. We don't have to argue about that. We got agreement on that one. But look, I want to go back to Shabaka. Shabaka, I want to go back to something you said earlier where you said the president of Kenya, when Barack Obama was president of the United States, no matter how illegitimately he became president of the United States, he did hold the title. And you're telling me that the chief diplomat in the United States of America, which is what the president is, no matter how illegitimate he is, he's still the chief diplomat of the United States. You're telling me that the president of Kenya, with whom we have diplomatic relations, would not allow him to land in his country on a diplomatic mission? Are you sure you got that right?
Correct.
I think you're wrong, sir. You know I despise Barack Obama, but I cannot see that happening.
But the vice president was over in Africa a while ago trying to introduce them to gay rights and same-sex marriage.
Uh-huh.
Kamala.
But Shabaka said that the nation of Kenya would not allow Air Force One to land in Kenya with the president of the United States on it.
I don't think that happened. God damn it, SARS.
Wait a minute. So you're saying it happened in Uganda?
You know, the president of Uganda said, "Don't bother landing here, SARS." Not the president of Kenya. The president of Uganda found out what Osambo was up to in Kenya, and he called Osambo and said, "Don't bother landing here."
And then, too, Brother Che, Biden had recently sent one of his envoys over there to the president, Museveni of Uganda, who told the president of Uganda that if you don't embrace this alphabetized agenda, we'll cut off your foreign aid. And President Museveni said, hey, man.
Are you saying that the president of Uganda announced that publicly?
This was in the last 90 days, Sarge. Yes, because, you know, the Biden's envoy had told...
Wait a minute, Obama hasn't been president in the last 90 days.
No, we're not talking about Obama, Sarge. We're talking about Biden, who sent his envoy to President Museveni of Uganda that told him that if the Ugandan society does not embrace the alphabetized agenda, is that the United States will cut off the foreign aid to Uganda. And President Museveni said, "Hey, man, cut it off. We're not going for it. We're not with that, man. And by the way, man, you still standing here, man? Get your ass up out of here. Excuse my language.
Wait a minute. I understand that Uganda has rightfully rejected the LGBTQIA bull crap. I understand that they've done that. I applaud it. But wait a minute. Here's what I have the problem with. You're telling me that the president of Uganda rejected a diplomatic visit from the president of the United States? They can reject the agenda and still accept the diplomatic mission.
He said, "Don't bother landing here." He literally
You got to give me evidence of that. You got to give me evidence of that. I don't believe that, Sarge. I don't believe that.
Okay, okay. I know for a fact you did because I
would tell. I would tell Joe Biden that, but I don't believe any government with whom we have diplomatic relations is going to tell the President of the United States, you can't have a diplomatic relation with you in person. I don't believe that. I would do it.
Sarge,
and I don't believe any nation
okay,
would do
Sarge.
That.
Well, okay, Sarge, I'm going to repeat
Sarge,
yeah, go ahead,
Sarge,
Elder. Go ahead, Mr. McChesney.
Sarge, do you believe that this gay rights and same-sex marriage is a genocide?
Wait a minute, you did hear what I said a moment ago. I think the homosexual agenda is an abomination. I think it is all in a...
Okay, go ahead, Mr. McChesney, and then we're going to bring Sarge back.
It's to wipe out future civilization.
Exactly.
I literally got it right here, Sarge.
The mission of a homo is to make those who are not homos, homos, okay?
Exactly.
A homo's mission is to make those who are not homos,
and it
homos.
Start with the children.
Okay?
Exactly.
Right, it's a genocide. Listen to me. Homosexuality,
yes, sir. That
gay rights and same-sex marriage is designed to wipe out the future generation.
Because two men can't have a baby.
Two women can't have a baby. So there's no future generation.
Exactly, Elder. That part. Okay, Elder. I'm going to bring Sarge back in because I know he's going to have a lot to say on this one. Okay, Sarge.
Sir, we are not arguing about the homosexual agenda. As I've said to Shabaka a million times on his show, at least, I think it is an abomination. It is destructive of the family. It is completely irrational, and it elevates deviancy to a normative value. I am utterly opposed to the LGBTQIA agenda. It is fascist. So we're not arguing about that. What I am arguing about is that Chewbacca said that the nation of Uganda rejected a diplomatic visit from the President of the United States and explicitly told him that he couldn't land.
Sarge. I'm literally looking at the
video. All I
want
to see is evidence of that. That's all I want to do. I just want to see the evidence of it.
I have to put everybody on
the I agree about the homosexual agenda.
Sarge, I'm going to give you what you want. Sarge, I'm going to give you the mute. So everybody has to go on mute. That's the only way you're going to be able to hear it.
Okay. Okay, we got Sarge in the chat room. Sarge joined the conversation.
Can you hear us?
Okay, Brother Che. Okay, so you got the material?
Yeah, I'm playing it right now.
Okay. All right, okay. I'm bringing back in Sarge, and I'm also bringing back Elder McChesney. Okay, Brother Che, please present the material.
Can y'all hear it?
No, sir.
All right, hello.
Okay, Sarge says is that all he wants to see is the evidence of a public announcement by the Ugandan president rejecting a diplomatic visit from the U.S. president of the United States.
I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, I just got disconnected from the chat room.
I'm just putting it in the chat.
Okay, reconnecting. Okay, alrighty, okay. We see a YouTube video here in the chat room, and could you play that there for Elder McChesney and Sarge?
Yeah, I'm trying to play it.
Okay, we're getting feedback.
Okay, is there still feedback?
Yeah, we're getting feedback.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go like this.
Yeah, we're getting feedback. Okay, moving right along. Okay. Okay, Elder McChesnick, are you familiar with the information?
I'm here.
Okay. Yes, sir, but you are familiar with the information that we just related when the president of Uganda had told Biden's representative to leave the country because that they weren't going for it, and he had told them to cut the aid off to Uganda.
His representative was Kamala, the vice president. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, the vice president.
She was the one that was going over there and threatened that they only accept the gay rights and same-sex marriage. They will cut off the supply. It was her. That's actual fact. See, this is a long-range program. They want to eliminate the future generation because it's the generation waking up now. And the only way they can eliminate them is what? Cut off the birthright. Two men can't have a baby. Two women can't have a baby. So after 20 years, 30 years, what do you got? You got nothing.
Yes, sir. That is correct. And then to prove your point even.
It's a genocide thing taking place. Genocide.
Destroy
black people.
Okay, I got now. I got it now. I understand now. When Museveni made these comments, Obama was no longer president of the United States. He made these comments in July of 2023.
That's what I said, Sarge.
Then he wasn't chief diplomat of the United States anymore. Well, he wasn't chief diplomat of the United States anymore. I guarantee you he would not have rejected a visit from Obama if they arranged the visit and he had a diplomatic mission as president. He made that statement when Obama was...
Okay, we're not talking about Obama, Sarge. What we are talking about is that Joe Biden sent a representative to Kampala, Uganda, telling President Museveni that if they do not embrace the alphabetized agenda, the United States will cut off its aid to Uganda. And President Museveni had stated, you can do whatever you like. We are not embracing that garbage over here. And I'm asking you to leave the country. And then the fool stood there with his mouth hanging open, and President Museveni stated, fool, you are still here. We're not going with that. Okay, turning it over there to Elder McChesnick. Elder, am I correct in what I just said, sir, to the best of your recollection?
Yes. Oh, yes. It was the Vice President Kamala that was going over to some African countries, threatened to cut off their sanctions. Because of the fact that they didn't accept gay rights and same-sex marriage.
Okay, gotcha, Elder. So therefore, this individual that went and saw President Museveni was on a diplomatic mission with the vice president when he stayed there. Am I correct in that, Elder? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Elder. Okay.
The big picture is to destroy the next generation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that is the point that we're trying to make perfectly clear.
Listen, they want to destroy the next generation. They don't want to shoot you and all that. They don't have to do that no more. Just
I got it. All right. I applaud Museveni for what he did. I applaud it. And I'm going to say rejecting the envoy is not the same thing as rejecting the president of the United States. It just isn't.
No, okay, Sarge. Okay, that's just it, though, Sarge. Okay, you see, Sarge, okay, when I was sitting there at the California State University in Los Angeles in my youth, right, and I got off into an argument with the professor because I think, Brother Chang, correct me if I'm wrong, that you got to study American history, man, you know, and the breadth requirements to get your degree. Okay, so therefore, this instructor is going to sit up there and tell me, okay, is that Frederick Douglass was a product of a natural union. And I say, sir, define natural union. And he says he had a white father and a black mother. And I simply told him, I says, now let me educate you, professor, with your miseducated self, that there was a product of institutionalized rape. You see what I mean? It's because when you look at the motion picture Mandingo, Sarge, that you and I argued about, okay, is where the white woman goes up there to the slave maid portrayed by Ken Norton and stated, well, if you don't do this here to me, I'm going to tell the master that you raped me. So he was darned if he do, darned if he didn't. You see what I'm saying? And then on top of that, okay, so then when the master got back after violating Brenda Sykes, you see what I mean? Okay, and referred to Brenda Sykes as her bed wench, you see what I mean? Okay, so then he went on and killed Meade in a very, very brutal way. Now, Sarge, and we supposed to sit up there and we supposed to forgive him from that and love them? What man in his right mind, Sarge, would go for that? I'm all ears, Sarge, and then we're going to turn to tell them.
Hey, Shabaka, I promise you, I'm never going to tell you who you're supposed to love. You can count on that, Sarge. He ain't never going to tell you that. But here's what I am going to ask you. I understand that Frederick Douglass may have been the product of an institutionalized rape, but he was not, nonetheless, he was a fully realized human being, was he not, despite his conception, the method of his conception. You all agree, Frederick Douglass was a total, absolute human being, are we not?
Sarge, what Frederick
Douglass
did.
Now, I just want to know, do you agree with that or not?
Okay, Sarge, I'm going to relay this here because I got Frederick Douglass's book right here, by the way, Sarge. Frederick Douglass.
I understand that. It was a simple question. It was really a simple question. Despite the nature of his conception, was Frederick Douglass a fully realized, absolute human being?
No, he wasn't, Sarge.
So what
because
was
he,
see,
what he had to do,
he
Sarge.
He was less than?
Okay, we're not. Sarge, okay. The rape and slave trading pedophile that violated his mother.
So he was a subhuman?
Okay, Sarge, hold on. Hold on 1 second, Sarge. Please do not hang up. I'm going to say this, Sarge, and I'm going to unmute you. Frederick Douglass was beaten by the rape and slave trading pedophile that violated his mother. Frederick Douglass got tired of getting hit. Frederick Douglass put some work in on him, knocked him on his back, and stomped him as well as he should have. Okay, and then Frederick Douglass went to the harbors of Baltimore and stowed away on a ship. And this is how Frederick Douglass became a seaman. And Frederick Douglass had did wind up in California doing the gold rush. Okay, and am I correct on that there, what I just said, Elder?
Yes, sir. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yes, sir. Okay, Elder. Okay, and Elder, I really do appreciate your tolerance, man, with this monstrosity.
No,
okay,
no,
and thank
yes,
you so.
You know, it's good. No, he has the right to express himself. You don't know what's in a man until he lets it out.
Yes, sir. Okay, Elder, I'm going to unmute Sarge's mic, and I know Sarge has a lot to say. Okay, Sarge.
Shabaka. My question was in response to the issue that you said. I mean, I know sometimes you seem to forget the things you say, but you explicitly said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I've got it right, that Frederick Douglass was a product of an unnatural union. That's essentially what you said.
Okay.
And my follow-up question, let me ask my question again. Maybe you want to rephrase it. I don't know if you do or not. So in view of my understanding of your premise, I ask you, was Frederick Douglass a full, absolute, complete, and total human being, Homo sapiens sapiens? and your response was, no, he wasn't. Would you like to elaborate on that?
He was a slave. Yes, sir. He was property. He was a slave. Okay, that
so
makes
slaves
aren't
human beings?
Man, I'm sorry?
Slaves aren't human beings in your eyes.
Okay, Sarge, are we going to debate about the hummingbird again, Sarge?
Yes, because you said, I heard you, what words mean things. Maybe you didn't mean to say it that way. I don't know. I speak English very well. Wait a minute.
Okay,
I speak English very well. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Sarge,
he was a human being before he was broken broken down to a slave, he was not functioning like his natural self would be because he's broken down. The slave master broke you
exactly.
down. They tormented you. You know, women being tied to two horses and pregnant women and hitting the horses go different directions and the baby drop out and the slave master stomped the baby's head in front of the mother.
Yes, sir.
You can say born human being, yes, but broken down, you're no longer. You're a slave. You're almost being treated like an animal. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, now I understand
that. That's right there, son.
Now, see, now, Shabaka, now do you understand the difference between a nuanced answer and a categorical one? You understand that distinction?
Sarge, you had told me about 8 weeks ago, okay, you saying that you would not exist had not your bloodline had been violated by those who violated your ancestors on the plantation system.
And that is literally true genetically. That is literally true.
Sarge, no, it isn't. Here we go, Elder, once again about this
hummingbird. If you cut out anybody in your direct ancestral line, you cannot exist. It's not possible.
That's not necessarily true, Sarge.
Okay, how does it work?
Explain
genetic inheritance to me then, please. Because I'm not understanding this at all. You are literally going against science itself. I mean, I want you to explain to me how genetic inheritance occurs when you remove someone in your direct ancestral bloodline, no matter how they got there.
You know, Sarge, they switched us around so much that, hey, you could be my first cousin.
Exactly. It's simply a matter of the genetic draw. Every one of them is essential for you to live.
And the studs, the men, they were transplanting men from plantation to plantation. Every time a woman got pregnant, they transformed a man from plantation to plantation. He didn't stay on one plantation. He might have babies by five or six women on this plantation. They shipped them to another one because the whole thing was about manufacturing slaves.
Okay, that's true.
The breeding farms.
That does not change the fact of what I said. That is true, and it does not change a thing about what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this here, Sarge. Okay, let me ask you a question. With me as a black man right now, I'm using your reasoning here. With me as a black man right here, okay, and let's say that there was a Klansman, you know, laying in an emergency ward that needs blood, okay, and they come state to me based off of your reasoning, well, Shabaka, we need you to give this Klansman a blood transfusion to save his life. Sarge, what do you think I'm going to do?
Well, I don't know what you're going to do. It's your blood. You got every right to deny anybody your blood. I don't know what you're going to do. You want to ask? Why don't you ask me what I would do?
No, hold it. Okay, Sarge. Okay, yeah.
How am I supposed to speak for you? Wait a minute. How am I supposed to speak for you?
What would you do?
Where do I get the will to speak for you?
Okay, but Sarge, okay, what would you do? You see a Klansman right there, based off of your reasoning, who needs a blood transfusion, and they want to come up to you and say that you are a blood transfusion match for this person. What are you going to do, Sarge?
Okay, now, let me ask the question so I can give you a coherent answer, all right? Let me ask you a question. Don't interrupt me and don't mute me. All right, here. Number one, am I the only person in the vicinity with his blood type so we don't get clumping blood and kill him from blood coagulation? Am I the only one?
Is there no one else around with his blood type? Sarge, you're the only one, Sarge, and I want to hear from Elder Machesnik on this one after you finish.
Okay, I just got a couple more questions for you, all right? Now, is this guy implicated in some sort of crime?
Go ahead,
wait,
Sarge.
Is this guy implicated in some sort of crime for which he is to stand trial for?
Sarge. What we're going to do for the sake of argument, Sarge, and for the sake of debate, you know, you're very evasive, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not evasive.
Okay.
I'm going to give you an answer, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
But I want to know what all the circumstances are in your hypothetical.
The circumstance. Oh, okay. Based off of your reasoning, Sarge, the Klux is laying there, man, with his Ku Klux Klan pointy hat on, you know what I'm saying, his sheets, you know what I'm saying, that he's wearing, okay, and this idiot is about to check out, and he needs a blood transfusion, man, and they're giving his clown about 3 minutes, okay, and you're the only one, Sarge, based off of your reasoning, that has the same blood type as him. Are you going to allow them to draw blood from you to save this fool?
Based upon the information you give me you're about to get a yes or no answer, but I'm stating it so you can understand my reasoning. Based upon the information you have given me and nothing else, more likely than not, I am going to give the donation.
Oh. Okay, that's you. Okay, Sarge.
Okay.
Do you know what I would tell the man in the response?
I know what you tell him.
Based off
that's
of
why I didn't answer for you. That's why I didn't answer
okay,
for you.
What
I
am
know
I
what you're going to
tell him,
tell
Sarge.
And after you say
what
it,
am I
going to
do?
And after you say
no, and hell no. You're going to say no, and hell no.
And after you save his life by giving him the blood transfusion, he's going to come and kill you and burn your house.
And I have my gun ready to blow his damn head off, too. You better believe that.
Okay, so that's one thing you and I agree on is the Second Amendment. That should not be infringed. Okay.
And
so
I guarantee you, he better get me before I get him.
Okay, so hold on, Sarge. The thing to do is to go on there and let that SOB die. You see what I'm saying?
That's why I didn't speak for you. That's why I did not dare to speak for you. I'm speaking for me. That's all.
No, but the reason why you let him die, because if you let him live, all he's going to do is kill you and burn your house.
So you don't believe in the possibility of redemption. So wait a minute, so you don't believe in the possibility of redemption for human beings. Is that right?
No.
Sarge.
All right, then fine. Okay, that's your opinion, sir.
Not when it comes to a devil.
Thank you, Elder. Thank you. It's because Elder, and I'm going to unmute Sarge, okay, because we remember old Frog Face, Elder, and I think you and I have had this conversation before, is that when old Frog Face got up there and said, segregation yesterday, segregation tomorrow. No, segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation tomorrow. So old Frog Face of Alabama spoke and stated how he honestly felt. So if the individual has this attitude right here, why would I want to go up there and save his life when he is dedicated to my absolute, total, and complete destruction? Does that make sense, Elder?
You're right. You're right.
Yes,
you're 100%
sir.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Elder.
If you keep him alive, all you're going to do is continue slaughtering you and your people.
Yes, sir. That's right, Elder.
They don't change. It's their nature to destroy us. Okay?
And that's the reason why
they brought us over here in the first place.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
As long as they can use you and you're alive, and when you get so that you can't perform like they want to, they kill you with the alcohol,
yes,
the drugs, the pork, all the
absolutely.
Medicine, all,
all the negative forces that they put in our community is designed to destroy us. You understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You have to see
okay,
him.
Elder.
You have to see him as he is. He's
yes,
satanic.
Sir.
He's a devil. Devil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, Elder, so I'm going to unmute Sarge.
Anytime you think he's not the devil, that's when he,
yes,
he gets bit by him. He's going to bite
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
That's what he is.
Yes, sir. Now, also, too, Elder, as we all know, when they talk about the lady who picked up the snake and took him home, he was hurt, nurtured
right.
him back to health, and he bites her, and she says, oh, you bit me. And what did the snake tell her? Well, I was
well,
a
I'm
snake when you picked me up. Okay, now.
What do you expect me to do?
Yes,
right.
sir. Exactly.
He was in the cold. He was in,
okay.
He was in the ice cold and put in the house and put him by the fireplace. And when the snake
yeah.
sold out, got warm, then he bit him. But that's his nature.
Yeah,
to
yes,
bite
sir.
You.
Yes, sir.
You can't,
yes, sir.
You can't change. You can't change the nature of a devil. See now,
yes,
I understand. Now, no, Sergeant's point is he never accepted or never saw white people as devils. But if he go
yes,
over
sir.
The trials and tribulations and the experience of the slave thing, the Chickamauga slave, and what they did to us down on the plantations and so forth, when you see that, then you can see you accept the reality of the fact that this is the devil.
Yes,
he's
sir.
Capable of doing anything. His mission is to destroy you. And that's
yes,
and the last trick they got, the last solution they have to destroy us is gay rights
yes,
and same sex marriage.
Exactly. Thank you, Elder. Okay, I'm going to unmute Sarge, Elder, okay, and prepare yourself because we know Sarge has got a lot to say. We do have a caller here at 336. The last three is 496. If you wish to speak on air, just press 1 and we'll be happy to unmute your mic. Okay, Sarge, here we go. The floor is yours, Sarge. Let me get my popcorn, man, and what have you. Okay, Sarge.
Okay,
the floor
okay,
is
again,
yours,
again,
Shabaka.
Shabaka, there were three iterations of the Ku Klux Klan, from 1865 to 1872, when President Ulysses S. Grant pretty much wiped out the Klans when he sent federal troops into the South prior to the Apache Comitatus Act being passed. That was the first one. The second Klan
uh-huh.
was from 1915 to 1944. The numbers of Klansmen
uh-huh.
during that period is between 3 and 6 million Klansmen. That was the peak. 6 million
okay.
members of the Ku Klux Klan between 1915
uh-huh.
and 1944. Now, out of that 6 million Klansmen, if every one
uh-huh.
of them killed one black person, there wouldn't be any black people
uh-huh.
alive in the United States. So you to
okay,
say
Sarge.
That black Klansmen murdered black people and they were like genocide is nowhere near the mark. Now, were they evil? Yes. Were they a danger? Yes. Were they a threat? Yes. But let's not hype it up beyond what it actually was. And by the way, the third
okay,
Klan, the third Klan from 1946 to the present is estimated to be no more than 10,000 members in the various Klan member chapters across the United States. So I would like to keep
okay,
it
Sarge.
All in context.
Where'd the 4 million go? Where'd the 4
okay,
million
Sarge.
Go?
Okay,
Sarge.
No,
what
the
they did doesn't
most
say
they joined
the police department.
Most of them are
they
dead.
Did.
They are dead. They are dead. Most of them are
Sarge.
Dead.
The Sarge, they joined the Chicago PD. They joined the NYPD.
Oh, they're dead.
1915
and 1944.
They joined the LAPD,
yeah, so
Sarge.
Sarge,
did you ever read the book, GPS?
1944. They didn't have no PD. They didn't have no offspring. They didn't pass that bullshit on. You best believe they did.
All right, all right,
so
all right, all right. You guys, listen. You guys talk about black men. Black men kill more other black men in 1 year than the Ku Klux Klan did in its entire history.
Man,
in its entire history, black men kill other black men more than the Klan did.
white men don't slaughter each
no,
other.
No, Sarge.
Okay,
Sarge, we're taking a point away from you, Sarge.
Native men don't slaughter each other. That's not a black-specific
yeah.
thing. Everybody commits crime.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Everybody kills their people. Crime is based off of proximity. I know because I have a criminal justice degree. Like, literally, it's a precipitation of crime. That's what leads to crime. And since you were a pig, i.e. a law enforcement officer or white supremacy, of course you're going to have to have embodied that bullshit. We're trying to get you on code, Sarge. And you're getting there, Sarge. You're getting there. We see you coming around. But I got two questions to ask you. Did you ever arrest any white assailants? And did you ever have to use your gun or shoot or kill outside of the military? I'm talking about as law enforcement.
Any All right, so now you're talking about my experiences. I can answer that with absolute certainty.
Any
All right, now you talk about my experiences. I can answer that.
Now, Sarge is trying to clinch.
My first couple of years in law enforcement were not spent in Cook County, Chicago. They were in downstate Illinois with a largely white Euro population. Almost all of my arrests were of white offenders. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Almost all of them.
Okay.
Now, next question I'd like to answer. I just said, in my first couple of years in law enforcement, almost every one of my arrests was of white offenders.
Where did you get transferred from here?
See what I mean? You don't really want to answer my question, do you?
No, I
don't. You don't really want that answer, do you?
Yes,
you want me to give you another answer? Would you prefer another
answer?
Because I just gave you the truth. Now, let me go on to the next thing about, as a police officer, I did not shoot and kill one human being in 23 years. Most police officers don't kill anybody in their entire careers. About 98% of police officers never kill anyone in their entire career. That is a fact.
Okay, hold that thought, Sarge. Hold that thought,
no,
Sarge. Okay, hold it.
That's not a fact.
Oh.
OMD's in the
Okay, well, why don't you tell me what the numbers are then, fella? What are the actual numbers? Why don't you tell me what they are?
Call in, MD. Google your friend, Sarge.
Come on. Answer the question. What percentage of police officers kill offenders in their career?
Never. No. They just never got caught, Sarge. That's what you're not
Okay,
about.
Now you want to make something up then. So you just want
to
make something up.
Go to Los Angeles, Sarge.
Just like
go to Los Angeles, Sarge.
Which was...
Let me rephrase the question then. All right, let me rephrase the question. Since police officers are getting away with murdering all of these people, how many people are actually being murdered by the police? What percentage of police officers... including the ones that aren't counted, what percentage of cops are killing people out there?
You know, Sarge, that's the reality of it. Those numbers are way too
large.
So you don't know what it
okay,
is. You're just
Sarge.
Making something up.
No, I know what them numbers
yeah,
are.
No, let me tell you what I know, Sarge.
Yeah, tell
Sarge,
me.
Do you
tell
know
me.
Who's the most notorious gang is in Los Angeles, Sarge? The most notorious gang in Los Angeles. Do you know who it is?
What?
I can't hear you, Sarge. Mark
Twain
was
the most how do you define the toys? But how many people they kill every year?
Sarge,
yeah.
As I told you before. Okay,
I'm asking you to define notoriety.
Okay, I'm telling you, Sarge, how many times, as I've stated before, how many times I've been stopped illegally by the Los Angeles Police Department, okay, searched illegally by the Los Angeles Police Department, had my vehicle searched illegally by the Los Angeles Police Department.
No,
and when I was studying...
We were just talking about shooting people. Now you're talking about illegal search.
So he said he never killed.
Okay, Sarge, that's the prelude to shooting unarmed black people. Okay, we got Sarge muted. Okay, take a breather, Sarge. Go back to your corner, man. Drink your water. Be sure to spit in your bucket. Do not swallow. Okay, Elder McChesney. Okay.
We got to give room for the sisters. Yeah. We got Sister Becky in the house. We got Lady Cherokee.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah.
And then,
okay, the only thing Sister Becky got to do. Okay. Oh, okay, and 496, okay. Okay, okay, Elder Chesney.
You got people that want to call in? Let other people call in and express their understanding.
Okay, Sister Becca, we're going to...
Go ahead,
okay, we're going to unmute Sister Becca's mic, okay? Sister Becca, if you have any comments, anything that you'd like to state, ma'am?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Absolutely.
I'm going to sit this one up. Like, I'm better off quiet because I don't know who this charge is. I'm new to that one.
Okay.
Well, check out some of our past episodes, Sister Becca. You know what I'm saying? And you'll get familiar with Sarge. So what I'm going to do is put you back on mic, ma'am. And if you have anything that you would like to add, just simply press 1 and we'll be happy to unmute you, okay?
Yes, I'm
going to
sit this one.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. All righty. Okay. And thank you so very much for joining us, Sister Becca. Okay. 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 All righty. Okay. 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 Mr. McChesnik, okay. Any comments on what Sarge was saying right there, Elder?
Well, what about the police thing?
Yeah.
Well, one
yes,
thing
sir.
Is you never, the black community, white people are always in the black communities, but you never find one black policeman in a white neighborhood.
No, and if you do
you go to any white neighborhood, you don't see black policemen in a white neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
You never heard of a black policeman shooting a white person.
Nope.
Yes, sir. That part. And to prove your point even further, Elder, if you recall the brother from Somalia in Minneapolis, the same city where George Floyd was murdered, and I know Sarge has got a lot to say about that, Sarge, and Sarge, we're going to unmute your mic. Okay, the brother from Somalia shot a white woman that was approaching a police car. That brother's facing 15 to 20 years on manslaughter.
You talking about Manwa? They gave him,
The brother was from Somalia, I believe. Sir.
What about the young white boy who shot those people up in Buffalo in the supermarket?
He didn't even mean the killer, though. That's what's so bad.
Remember the Buffalo? New York?
Elder.
He shot 13 people and he's still alive. They didn't have to execute him yet.
Yes, sir.
In Buffalo,
that part.
York.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
One of our
that part.
Friends.
Ku Klux Klan is concerned, all the Ku Klux Klan did was took off the white robes and put on blue uniforms.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
The same Ku Klux Klan is those the police. They put on blue uniforms, that's all.
That's all they did. And
yes, sir.
Released it in 2006 that like 80 to 90% of the law enforcement agencies in this country have been infiltrated by white supremacists.
Right.
Exactly.
All the above.
Right.
That part. Okay, so let's get Sarge's response to that. Okay, Sarge, we know you're trying to clinch, maybe you throw an elbow, Sarge. Okay, Sarge, break. Okay, box.
All right, I'm giving an example of Chicago, all right, what I know, because I worked there for 20 years. So the first couple of years, I was downstate in Illinois, arresting mainly white people, okay? Now, I went up to Chicago. Now, there's hardly a single neighborhood in Chicago in 2024 that is exclusively white. But out of those that are mostly white, like, say, Uptown, Lincoln Square, North Center, Logan
Morgan
Square,
Park.
The Beverly, which is Edgewood, where they're mostly white, there's not a single district given the fact that I worked in Cook County and had to go all over Cook County where I did not see black officers. And you know the reason why? Because in Chicago, they got a seniority system. After an officer has been on the job for 2 or 3 years, I forgot what the exact time was, they then have the opportunity to bid for their district of choice. They get an opportunity to bid for it. It is a well-known fact that black officers bid to work in black districts, more so than even white officers who kind of tend to want the action, and most of that's in the black neighborhoods. But the black officer, when they have an opportunity to bid for a district of assignment, they bid to work in a black district. That's the reason for it predominantly. Everybody knows it.
Okay.
No, the reason is racism and white supremacy, Sarge, and that's what you're failing to acknowledge.
Okay, now you're qualifying it. See what I mean? I see. Whenever I respond to something, you say, you got another qualifier that you can't quantify.
Of course. It just reaffirms what we already know. We're under a system of...
Okay, if that's what you believe, fine. I don't agree.
So MD's in the chat.
I think it's because they are familiar with the area and they are comfortable with it because many of them grew up in or near those districts.
In 229 That's what MD is saying in the
chat.
Okay,
I'm going to say it again. I think the reason black officers bid for black districts is because they are in areas where they grew up in, are comfortable in, and know well. That's the reason.
They're in those places because that's all they're allowed to be in, Sarge.
Now, see, what did I just say? What did I just say? You didn't listen to me, did you? I said the police officers, on the basis of seniority, if they have the seniority and they bid for an open slot, if they got the seniority, they get it.
But they predominantly want to get the seniority, Sarge.
They don't want it. They don't want the slot.
What
they don't want it. They want to work in a black neighborhood.
Okay, 336, last 3496. Your mic is on muted. Chime in at any time. Okay, and we wind it down to our last 12 minutes. Okay, so in about 5 minutes, we're going to start our closing comments. Okay, because you know how they like to do us here, Brother Che. They pull the plug on us.
I don't know who that
okay,
is.
336, 496, okay. Your mic is on mute if you have any comments.
Black Power, I just heard, I just listened to the radio.
Okay, yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, Black Power always. Okay, thank you so very, very much. Okay. Okay, and wait a minute. Is this Brother Equanis by any chance? Okay. All righty.
Did you hear? Okay. I didn't hear what you said, brother.
Okay. Is this your brother Equanis by any chance?
No, this is Brother K. DeWalt.
K. DeWalt.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Brother DeWalt, for joining us, man. Thank you so very, very much. As you could tell, man, you know, we got Sarge with us. Sarge is Sarge. We also have Elder McChesnick with us as well, too. And we see Chef Rob here. Yeah, Chef Rob is here in the chat room. Okay. All righty. Okay, so we're going to start our closing comments. Okay.
Because
they'll pull the plug on us, man, you know, as soon as we go off in overtime. Okay, first of all, I'm going to start my closing comments first. Okay, first of all, I want to thank Elder McChesnick for coming on tonight. And definitely appreciate the elder dropping his knowledge. We thank... Sister Becca for joining us also, too. We got to thank Sarge, you know what I mean, because Sarge is Sarge. Okay, closing comments. Okay, Elder McChesnick, your closing comments, sir, and thank you so very, very much for joining us.
Yes,
well, I think
you.
It was a very, very good. You got opinions from different directions, and you got to put everything that transform this evening on this program. You got to come together and put on the table not what each individual wants, believe, or understand, but what is best for our people as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And what's best for our people as a whole is what?
love each other, respect mm-hmm. each other, come together, and stay together mm-hmm. and do what's best for our people.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's right. And that's right, Elder. And once again, thank you so very, very much for joining us. Okay, yeah. Elder. And please stay with us in the... And please stay with us, Elder, until the end, okay, because... Yes, sir. And by the way, Elder, did the show fit your ramifications for tonight of what we previously discussed?
Oh, yes. No, very interesting. Very interesting. You covered a lot of ground in different topics. And that's what we need because
yes,
it's
sir.
A big world out here. It's not just... It's a,
yes,
it's a,
sir.
The understanding is north, west, east, and south. It's a big world. And you're going to come in contact with... Whatever's taking place in the world is going to affect us because we're in the world. So we have to come with a
yes, sir.
Like I said, love each. Remember, love each other, respect each other, stay together. You understand? And put on the table what's best for our people, not our individual self,
right.
for the people
yes,
as
sir.
A whole. And always remember,
yes, sir.
All communities around the country. You got to deal with the needs of the people. And the needs of the people today is food, clothing, shelter, daycare centers,
yes,
education
sir.
Centers, supermarkets, barbershops,
yes,
restaurants. And the blockage is your Negro preachers. Because they're robbing
yes,
the people with a Bible. They're robbing the people with a Quran. But they're not supplying the needs of the people in the community that they're robbing the people. You understand
yep.
what I'm saying?
Yes,
so wherever
sir.
There's a, wherever there's a church, wherever there's a mosque, it should be what? A daycare center, an educational center,
absolutely.
A recreational center,
absolutely.
A supermarket. It should be the needs
yes,
of the people. And what they're doing, they're blood sucking the people because
mm-hmm.
that's how they get.
Right.
How are you going to get a million dollar house? With no profession and a Bible, $1 million. Come on, I mean, come on.
Yes,
you have
sir.
No profession of your own, but you got $1 million house. You drive a Mercedes. You understand? You got a
right.
thousand suits, but no dry cleaner. You understand? No.
Right.
When you come out of school, they don't have no recreational place where they can go to release
mm-hmm.
the energy under the heading of basketball or football or baseball. All the communities years ago, we had these different programs to keep
yes.
you in a positive direction of
yes.
loving your brother and like you love yourself instead of shooting your brother. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
And
that part.
Now, the blockage is the rich people in our nation, the rich ones, instead of them with all the money that they have, the schools that their children go to, they don't even go to the school that their children go to and supply the children all uniforms and everything they need,
mm-hmm.
computers and so forth and laptops and everything, and it's a tax write-off. They
mm-hmm.
better go buy 20
yep.
cars that they don't drive, and they're so ignorant at the 20 cars you don't drive, a car correction, and then you go buy an airplane, and you can't even drive a damn airplane. So all that can't wait.
Elder.
We're dealing with ignorance, stupidity. Ignorance and stupidity
yes, sir.
On a, with people who has money and don't know what to do with it other than a young girl. Alcohol, drugs,
right.
tobacco, marijuana,
right.
all this freakism that's going down now. You understand what I'm saying? So
that part.
Right. So just,
exactly. Yeah, glad you brought them up. And Creflo Dollar.
They sold and they hold for 30 pieces of gold and allow themselves to become Illuminati faggots, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they all
yes,
faced out with the drug thing, and that's why they
yes.
can't see what the people need. And that's why
yes,
they move all the
yes,
way out
sir.
In these hills, got these houses in different locations, gated communities and so forth, because they
yeah.
know their
yes,
time
sir.
Is up. Because a hungry lion don't care nothing about a lion that's eating every day.
Oh, Lord, we got Joe Gibson.
Exactly. Yeah, we got Joe Gibson in here. Press one, Joe. And also, two, Joe, we got the elder with us here tonight. And this man here is very, very knowledgeable, Joe. Okay? And keep in mind, Joe, any sources that you quote, bring them from an Afrocentric perspective. And, elder, if we had time, man, I would love for you to work all over Joe Gibson's, man. And, elder, thank you so very, very much, man, for blazing and dazing, leaning and sheening. Rumble, young man, rumble. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You know what I'm saying? The world will never forget Muhammad Ali. Okay, Sarge, we know you're long-winded. Okay, we know you're long-winded, and Joe, you might as well get in here too. And keep in mind, Joe, you in the RBG house tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, all righty. Okay, and Elder, please stay with us if you can, Elder, because Joe Gibson is the main, the main one who I want you to get. Okay, now, Sarge.
I'm here to the finish. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, Sarge. We know you're long-winded, and we got your colleague, Joe Gibson, in here. And Joe, press one to get this work. Come on with it, Sarge.
Joe, I want you to go back and listen to this show and archive. Now, these dudes made me hold my hands behind my back for 2 minutes and 30 seconds of every three-minute round. Don't let me punch for 30 seconds for the round, but they would mute me, and I still whoop their behind. Just go listen to it for yourself. I want you to find the show when it gets to the archives. You listen to it for yourself, and you'll see what I mean. But let me go on with what make my point, and I'm not long-winded. I'm the most succinct person here. Let me go on what I want to say. I fully applaud and agree with the sentiments of the good professor. The elder gentleman, I agree with his sentiments about we need to follow people and get in lockstep on things that are positive and beneficial to the black community. But I am not going to walk in lockstep with this cacistocracy that is governing us in these cities that is doing nothing but harm to the black community, like Let's Go Brandon Johnson, like Larry Lightfoot, like Tiffany Vineyard, and all the others. I ain't walking with it.
You continue. Yeah, I continue. Yeah, give me some more. Box.
Sometimes.
See what I mean? What did I just say, Joe? Now you get my point, don't you? I was timing myself. He got me at 38 seconds. Then he won't let me punch him off.
Sarge, you decked me for once. Okay, now.
Oh, okay, well,
so now
well
here
that's true.
We
that's true.
Go.
I definitely did.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Elder. Okay, Mr. DeWalt has dropped. Okay, thank you for joining us, Mr. DeWalt. Okay, now, Elder, I'm going to read something to you, sir, and I'm going to ask for your response, Elder. Okay, we got 336 here. Your mic is on muted, 336. Okay, Joe Gibson has right here. Sometimes in 1619, a Portuguese slave ship called the Sao João Batista traveled across the AC Atlantic Ocean with a hull filled with a human cargo, captive Africans from Angola. Yeah, that's the same place where Capoeira comes from, in southwestern Africa, so Joe is right. The men, women, and children, most likely from the kingdoms of Ndongo and Congo, endured the horrific journey, bound for a life of enslavement in Mexico. Almost half the captives have died by the time the ship was seized by two English pirate ships. The remaining Africans were taken to Port Comfort, a port near Jamestown, the capital of the English colony of Virginia, which the Virginia Company of London had established 12 years earlier. The colonist John Rolfe wrote to Sir Edwin Sandys of the Virginia Company that in August of 1619. Okay, now, Joe Gibson, guess what you just did, Joe? Joe just contradicted himself, people.
Those black people here at least since 1525. So what are you talking about, Joe? Like, that's the bull crap narrative they like to run with, that, oh, we just been here for 400 years. So the black continent as well as Africa, as well as Asia, as well as Australia, as well as South America.
Well, you're correct. That's what the point I'm trying to get to. It's forced labor was not uncommon, you know, and many, many different nations.
Joe, you're being warned, Joe. We don't want to hear about no Greeks, man. We don't care about no Irish.
But
African
slavery had a lot to do with other slavery.
That was not the average slavery, Joe, and you can't run with that lie, and we have to shut that lie down.
Wait, how do you figure
it? Because
mute his mic, okay, Elder, please respond to him. Mute his mic. Hang on, Joe. We're going to give you a chance to respond. Okay, Joe, because you're trying to throw interference.
I'm not saying nothing.
Okay, Elder. Okay, would you please respond to Joe Gibson right there, Elder?
Well, the slave thing when they was bringing us over from on the track of many slaves, the slave ships and stuff.
Yes, sir.
They was bringing us over here for one reason, to build a country for them, because they didn't bring just anybody. They brought the builders, the builders on those ships.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Oh.
And it was a select people that would have the experience, the qualification, and the science and the mathematics to build a country. Okay?
So they picked out certain slaves? You're telling me they picked out certain slaves?
Yes, as they came over, then everybody was on the ship, and they dropped them off in different locations. There's only one, the ship held a lot of people. I mean, it's a full ship.
So how did they think about this process? How did they go about the process of elimination and picking the slaves? What was their? How did they do this?
It was
wherever area there is in the world, you can build on it. This is the that's why it's called Asia. Asia is the planet. This planet has a rich. Everywhere is you can build a civilization, no matter what part of the planet Asia that we're on, you can build a civilization. It has everything in the earth for you to build a civilization. Now, but what happened was when they got to these different locations, you understand, they was, like, especially over here in America, the Indians was already here. They was here like 16.
The black
Aboriginal
Indians,
like,
both some people.
The original people was already there, and they taught the Caucasian man how to grow food, how to build, and so forth.
How to cultivate the land,
and survive. Now, but we, the black man, the Africans, the black men, we came over, we know how to build. We know how to cut down trees and build houses and railroad tracks and all that. No matter what, the main purpose for bringing us here, slavery was a business to find people to build a world for white people.
How would the African slaves?
Say what?
Joe, how dare you?
Okay, please continue. Okay, please continue, Elder, because see what Joe Gibson is trying to do, because I'm quite familiar with him, is because Joe, he wants to interject, and what he's going to get up there and say, Elder, is that we sold ourselves into slavery, which is one of the biggest lies ever told. Okay, please continue, Elder, and we will unmute your mic, Joe.
Lie has to die tonight.
You see, don't forget, the white race had no knowledge of building because they was in the caves of Europe for 2,000 years.
That part.
Okay? The caves of Europe, down their hands and knees, eating raw meat. The dogs was laying with their women and so forth. They went through a hell of a thing for those 2,000 years. So they didn't know how to build anything. You follow my idea? The black man is the god. Once you accept the reality of the fact that everything you see and everything you don't see comes from the mind of the black man. You understand?
That's right.
He's the natural builder. You can take a black man and put him anywhere, and he'll build a civilization.
Yep.
But that's his mind.
Yes,
he's a builder.
Can I say something here? Just one minute, please.
Hold on, Sarge. We're going to let you talk, Sarge, because you're long-winded, and you're wearing me out tonight, Sarge. You knocked me down. Okay.
That's what it's all about. Now, the white race, the Caucasian, they have a hatred for black people because of your intelligence, your civilized, your culture refined. He's the savage.
He's
you know what I'm trying to say? And that's the reason why he brings in all these different vices and so forth to try to destroy your mind to bring you down where he's at. But you have to accept the fact. In reality, the black man is God.
If you're God, then why is it taking so long for you to get where you're at right now, and you're
still beneath most of the society. We have black men among us with a white mind. That's your blockage. Black man with a white mind works against black people. I'm going to say that again.
Yes, sir. And that's resurrection of the mental dead.
A black man with a white mind is the blockage for the black man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elder. Okay? Thank you so very, very much, Elder.
Anytime you want to see what a black man or a black woman who has a white mind, look at all your rich black people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
ask yourself, what are they doing for their people?
Tune in for butter biscuits.
Exactly.
Look what has they done. They in position. Do you know we have enough rich black, enough? We have enough rich black people in our nation that can rebuild every community in the country.
That part.
Okay? We
that part.
Look at Jay-Z. $12 billion. Look at, Rick Ross. $30, $40 billion.
Yep.
They're not buying $100,000 houses. They're buying $1 million mansions now. You need a $1 million mansion with 13 bedrooms and only 3 people in the house? Come on.
Crazy.
25 cars.
Okay.
Look at Mayweather. 25 cars and an airplane. Huh? Steve Harvey. A $16 million house, and he just bought another $17 million for his children. Look at the money.
Go in the chat.
It's the black Listen to me. It's the black people who have the white mind. Listen, the white mind. That's the blockage for the black people because they don't want to do nothing for the black people. Now, they got a white mind. They was black before they got rich. But when they got the money, they became white.
Mm-hmm. Elder, if I just may interrupt you for 1 second, I'm going to read this garbage that Joe Gibson had put in the chat room, and I'm going to unmute your mic, Joe, okay? And don't go nowhere because, see, the elder here is getting ready to swell up your left eye, man, and crack your jaw. You call this man in the chat room stupid. Then you also say, Joe Gibson, laughing out loud, then why do you want reparations? Because we built your damn country. Excuse me, Elder.
Right.
This guy gets under my skin. And then he says, we should have to do anything since y'all so smart. Okay, then Joe Gibson, then let me ask you this, okay? You are a beach white. You are a beach whale. Yeah. The white man in America is the beach white mile. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to let the elders speak, Joe. Oh, yeah, you can count on that. But first, I'm going to tell you something. First place, you're not going to disrespect this man, okay? You go disrespect Pianchi all you want to, okay? Because Pianchi is exactly as what this man just spoke right here. And, yeah, the tab is $850 trillion for the reparations, Joe. Now, elder, what I'm going to do, sir... And appreciate you speaking the time. I'm going to let this individual talk, Elder, and if he disrespects you in any type of way, we got the eject button for him. Okay, Joe Christian, respect the Elder.
Let him speak.
Okay, yes, Elder. Yeah, we're all muting his mic. The floor is all yours, Joe Gibson. You're a bloody mess.
You keep doing that. You keep doing that. You mute me every single time I try to contradict anything that he's stating. Well, how could you say that? Because you have nothing to back up what you're saying. You have no facts.
Okay, here we go. Eject button. Boosh. He's out of here, folks. Okay. Okay, Elder, please continue. Okay, we just throw him out, and I hate to have to do that, Elder, but I did put a warning label up on here, and yes, Sarge, we are going to get to you. Okay, Elder, please respond to what this individual just said, Elder, and he tried to disrespect you, and we ain't going to let that happen. You see what I'm saying? Rain upside his dome, Elder. Rain on him.
Reparations, and then he said that if y'all so smart, since y'all don't have anything, but y'all so smart, but you have all the money. In his own words and blah blah blah, just very disrespectful.
Now this is an insult to me. Okay, and like I said, Joe, we appreciate the hate mail. That's why we invited you. Now listen to this, Elder. I hung up on him, and that shows how the little mind that I have. So therefore, Elder, he cannot debate with us intellectually. Now, to prove your point, Elder, now he's going to name calling. And please elaborate, Elder.
Okay. What he doesn't understand.
He's one of them high IQs.
No. What he doesn't understand. Everybody that got rich in America got rich off black people.
That part.
Because black people is the consumers of the world.
Exactly.
Of the world. You understand what I'm saying? You can't get rich in America without the support and capitalizing of black people.
That's right, Elder.
Maybe anybody, any ball player, entertainer, whatever, businessman, whatever. Because we are the consumers.
Mm. Yes, sir.
When you got 100 million people patronizing you, you got to get rich. When you got free labor for 310 years, free labor to build a country for 310 years, everybody's rich. Everybody's rich, but the ones who built the country.
The ruling of the Moors under that at that time, Sarge. Like,
oh, Sarge, but the point is, anybody who can't understand the plight, the trials, tribulations, and sacrifices that black people made and didn't receive nothing, is the one who has a white mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a white mind. When you have a white mind, you can't see the black brother because your mind is white. You see, you got black people, and you got black people with a white mind. So the one with the white mind is not black. He's white because the mind controls the body. You understand?
Sarge is just trolling at this point. Sarge keeps bringing up Europe, and he's just reemphasizing what you're already saying, Elder, that he is a black man. Who in fact has a European mind and is so bent on Europeans and being like them and being in contact with them that he keeps insisting that the infrastructure that was built in Europe in the 12th century was created by Europeans, not acknowledging the fact that the Moors controlled that whole region of Europe for 800 years from 711.
Yep.
To 1492.
Okay, now Sarge is insulting me here, Elder. I need your help, Elder, okay? Sarge, he's trying to come with his left hook over my right uppercut. Sarge is saying, we've unmuted Sarge. Okay, Elder, Sarge says to me, since you have decided to meet me, you clearly are unable to debate the issue.
Oh, my God.
Elder,
oh,
my God. Please these blazing days on them, Elder. And Sarge, your mic is unmuted, and please don't get your blood pressure.
How many seconds until I get muted again? How many seconds do I get? 20, 25, or 30?
Okay, we'll give you a minute, Sarge. Just don't disrespect
the
elder,
not
the elder.
I get a whole minute? Really?
Okay, yeah, Sarge, the elder speaking, then we're going to let you talk, Sarge. And please don't nobody hang up. It's because we are in overtime.
But the question I want to ask, I'll ask, and I'll ask anybody.
Yes, sir.
What has white people done for black people of your best interest?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not
Can't hear you, Sarge. Sarge, you might be on me.
When I get to speak
about 80 seconds.
You give me 80 seconds and you'll know. I get 80 seconds and you'll know.
No, you got 2 minutes.
All right, good. I don't need that long. All right. Okay, you got to be quiet now. Let me finish. All right, now I put it in the chat room, and I'll just say what I put in the chat room. Notre Dame de Paris, Salisbury Cathedral, the buttresses of Cologne Cathedral, the facade statue of Chartres Cathedral, the windows of Saint-Chapelle, Paris, all of them built in the 12th century, long before any Europeans came to North America. If black men taught whites how to build these structures, then how come no such buildings existed in sub-Saharan Africa at that time before European contact? Now, you told me I had 2 minutes.
Okay, give me time.
Technical advances, such as innovative uses of the pointed arch, the rib vault, and the flying buttress, were all European architectural innovations. Now, Shay said the Moors. The Moors were North Africans who were assigned the Mediterranean trade route, where all of this information was traded with other people and other cultures.
Sarge,
relax.
They learned it from the Moors, because the Moors went into
See, you wouldn't let me finish. That's what I mean. You hold my hands behind my back. You lied to me.
Sarge, why don't you love your people?
See what I mean by straw man arguments? I make an argument, I get a straw man argument in return.
It's not making no logical sense, Sarge.
The question is, first of all, I would like someone to deal with the point I raised. Then, sir, I will answer your question.
We've been dealing with it.
Okay, Sarge. The elder asked you a direct question. Please give him a direct answer. Why do you hate your people is the question, sir.
I do not hate my people. I do not want my people to live in an aura of delusion and make-believe. That's what I don't want.
Sarge, you ever been to Los Angeles and been to Hollywood? Man, that is exactly
And California is a hellhole. I try to avoid it.
Smart man. I'm just sorry I spent, you know, the first 40 years of my life living in that.
It wasn't a hellhole then. It was tolerable then.
But Sarge.
After the black man builds, when the white man gets jealous, he comes with the gun and tears it down.
You're not responding to my point. That's all I'm noticing. You're not responding to it.
No,
you're
just
saying
did,
that
Sarge.
White men get jealous of black men when they build something. The white people did not go into Africa in any significant numbers in the 13th and 12th century.
They were building these fantastic cathedrals in Europe.
No, they weren't.
No.
The Moors
no,
had
weren't.
Already
black
built
people,
these
no.
structures.
When
these
black,
were
anywhere the white man goes,
these
black people are so
that
black people
are
so merciful.
They welcome the white man to come into their country. And not knowing that when the white man comes in their country, if they get a foothold, they takes over the country with brute force. We're
right.
humble
exactly.
people. Exactly. We're caring and sharing
that
people.
Part.
You understand? We share our wisdom with everybody. Okay? So after
yes,
we share and teach them our skills, how to build this and how to build that and so forth, make a civilization, then the white man uses brute force with the guns, whatever you want to call it, and takes over the country.
We weren't in the cave. We built America.
Yes, sir.
That's why they got we built America, right? But the government, white people controls the country with what? Arms, guns,
yep.
tanks,
yep.
bullets.
Yep. Yep.
We don't believe
that
it.
Part.
We're not a people of fighting. We are people of loving, caring, and sharing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's why we are vulnerable.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Why us having that nature, that's why we are vulnerable. That's why people take advantage. After we make everybody rich, we support them, make them rich. And if they get rich, they become white and forget about us who are still black and poor.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We
okay,
support,
Elder,
we
I'm going to...
Black people supports the world, and
yeah.
the world step after the, when the world gets what they want, they turn against black people.
Yep.
It's just that simple.
Exactly. Exactly. And then that's why you got neocolonialism. Okay, Sarge, your mic is unmuted.
Okay, my point that I raised a moment ago, was that you, the point that was raised by you and your side was that black men built things that white people used. Black people taught them how to do these things. Even though none of these technological innovations that they used to build for white people existed in sub-Saharan Africa. None of them.
Yes, they
not
did.
If they, if they taught them how to do it, how come none of that stuff existed there?
It did.
Sarge, it did, Sarge. That's what the elder is telling you.
It did not. There were no buildings. There was a flying buttress in sub-Saharan Africa. Or the Roman arch.
Sarge.
Or a keystone.
In Africa. It was whole kingdoms in Africa. What are you talking
about? The Moors were North Africans. They were astride the Mediterranean trade routes where they could exchange this technical information.
No.
Okay, Sarge, let me ask you this. Okay. Okay, Elder. I got to ask Sarge a question. Okay, just like how you said, Elder. Okay. The question is that when you look at these public indoctrination centers called the public school system, right? They don't never teach the black child, mainly the black boys, of the great legacies of where we come from. As we have mentioned, Elder, and particularly with our women, Queen Nzinga of Mutamba, Queen Amina of Nigeria, Her Majesty Queen Hatshepsut. Okay, just like when Mansa Musa had to go up there and deal with these varmints coming out of Greece with their homosexual pedophile selves, well, he told the queen, baby, we're getting ready to go into the field. I need you to come with me. And the queen, with her lovely self, says, well, I'm the queen of the Songhai Empire. Why must I go with my husband into the battlefield? Because the king said, I'd much rather die in battle with you at my side as opposed to you being here and this place gets overran and I'm not going to leave you here to be violated and raped, okay? Because, see, you know, it's white folks' nature with that homosexuality, okay? Mm-hmm. When you look at the Empire of Greece, you know, these here were a bunch of homos. Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates, they didn't invent nothing. They went there and stole knowledge out of the ancient universities, such as, not patting myself on the back, the University of Sankore. Now, I'm going to unmute Sarge, okay? And then, Elder, we're going to let Sarge talk. Elder, then we're going to...
wasn't no structures like that. So we got to address that real quick. So in what is now Nigeria, there were like five-story buildings. What is the equivalent of five-story buildings?
That part.
Africa is very old.
That part.
Very old. Talking about.
Yes, sir. And
100,000 million plus years old. So about time y'all said just came out there, caves. Africa had been worn down.
Yes, sir. Yes, and we had to teach them how to bathe. And we had to teach them how to bathe. You see what I'm saying? And we had to teach them how to bathe. It's because when
they was doing dumb shit with their skin, that's where that leprosy and all that other bullshit come from. And they got banished to what is now Europe. And Europe is a wasteland. So they come from scarcity.
Exactly.
They come from, they always telling us, y'all need to stop thinking from a mind of scarcity. No, they're projecting because that's how they think.
Exactly. And then on top of it as well, too, when the indigenous people of America, commonly referred to as the American Indian, saw them, these pilgrims, they didn't know how to farm. They wouldn't teach them farming. So what did they do? Look how they returned the favor. They give them blankets with smallpox in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, we're in the 15th round, Sarge, okay? Come on with it.
Okay, since you never let me fully develop my thesis, you didn't let me say what I was going to say about the Moorish architecture on the Iberian Peninsula that the Moors did build, but you didn't let me finish. You never do. You stopped me before I can get there. I was going to mention the art. See, this is, I'm already being interrupted. See what I mean? See what I mean? I'm not allowed to finish. Will you let me finish? I'm not long-winded. You guys make me long-winded because I keep stopping and saying and objecting to how I constantly get interrupted. All right, again, you look at Granada. You look at Cordoba. You look at Fez, Marrakesh, Seville. All these places in the Spanish Peninsula, yes, they were built by the Moors, but they incorporated Roman, Byzantine, and Visigothic architectures. They picked up from those peoples, yes, when they conquered them and when they traded with them. So it was a mutual exploration of technical innovation that they exchanged.
No, Sarge. It was the light in my enlightenment. We brought sanitation to them savages.
Now you're changing the subject. See what I mean? I was talking about buildings because you guys were saying men taught white men how to make buildings.
I brought up empires that were not even more related. Had nothing to do with the Moors.
Okay, okay. So what is the greatest bit of architecture you can name? I want you to name the greatest architectural structure in sub-Saharan Africa that is comparable to the Cathedral of Nantes. Tell me what it is.
The Cathedral of
Nantes.
First of all, Sarge.
See what I mean? You can't name one. That's why you're not going to do it.
Oh, I can do it.
Sarge.
Woman, tell me what it is.
From?
I said sub-Saharan Africa. I'm not talking about the Egyptians. They were on the Mediterranean trade routes, too. I'm talking about sub-Saharan Africa, south of the Sahara Desert.
Okay, and where is
Sarge?
This begin, Sarge. You got to be very specific.
I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I'll wait until you give me the name of a structure that is comparable to Notre Dame.
Nubia, Sudan.
Yeah,
structures, similar to the ones that you find in
Timmins.
The Congo.
I'm waiting. I'll keep waiting until you give me one. I just keep waiting.
Azania.
Comparable to Notre Dame or the Cathedral of Nantes.
Yes.
Really? You really believe that, do you?
Yes. No, that's not something we believe, Sarge. That's something we know.
All right, all right. And you still haven't named the structure yet.
So how is that going to solve the problems that you're dealing with today?
Thank you, Elder.
Oh, wait a minute. You guys raise these issues, and you don't let me come in and respond to them. I got to come in 5 minutes later to speak for maybe 60 seconds. In the meantime, you're going to change the subject.
Whatever you think is going to stick out there, Sarge, deflecting, You're doing what the European does.
What do you mean deflecting? I'm directly answering your proposition that black people taught white people how to make their buildings.
They did.
That is a direct response to what you said.
Sarge, it was black women that taught white women the concept of feminine hygiene.
See how you got to change the subject? Because you can't respond to what I said.
You're just doing, Sarge.
Let me ask the question again, because I still haven't gotten an answer. I want to know what sub-Saharan structure is comparable to the Cathedral of Nantes or Notre Dame in Paris that was built in the 12th century.
What are you defining as sub-Saharan, Sarge?
South of the Sahara Desert.
Okay.
Sarge, why are you diverting away from the structure of the pyramid?
I'm dealing with an issue that you never responded to.
Let the elder speak. Go ahead, elder.
The black man built everything, and what he didn't build, he taught others how to do it.
Thank you, Elder.
Okay, now, Sarge, double oil gasket. You heard what the elder just said.
That wasn't an answer. That was a very precise and concise. I named specific structures.
But it wasn't an answer.
You didn't give me a specific structure.
He just did, Sarge. He didn't have to. He said everything.
Oh, he didn't have to. Okay, well, that's a good answer. Thank you. That's all I need to know. Okay, I got my answer.
The black man built everything in the world, and what he didn't build, he taught other people how to build it. That's all. Because he's the original man.
Okay, now, Sarge.
He's the original man. He's the father of everything.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Now, Sarge, I'm going to unmute your mic, okay?
Okay,
Sarge,
I got my answer. You couldn't name anything. I got my answer. It's good enough for me. Okay, now next. Let me go into something else now, because I see now I'm not going to get a specific answer. I will accept that as your answer. And as far as I'm concerned, it's inadequate. Now, let's go on to the next thing here. Now, you're saying that all of these innovations that a black man developed and taught to Europeans, you know, and the way that they came up with them is they innovated them. Things like, let me see if I got this straight now. We're talking about things like Euclidean geometry, parabolic geometry, hyperbolic geometry, projective geometry, differential geometry, calculus, limits, continuity, differentiation, integration, physical chemistry, organic chemistry, biochemistry. Yeah. All of these things black men taught to Europeans, right?
How about the internal combustion engine? We invented everything, and this is why these savages with their funky, nasty, unclean selves
Roman architecture, Gothic architecture,
to steal the knowledge. Okay, like the elder just said, Sarge. The only thing that the white man.
How about penicillin?
Sarge.
Oh, come on. I want to know exactly what it is black men taught white people they didn't figure out on their own.
Everything.
Medicine.
Everything. Okay.
Hygiene.
That's your answer. Good.
Architecture.
That's not an adequate answer.
Farming. Irrigation. The concept of electricity. Okay. The concept of physics. Astronomy.
How about the concept of pi? Where'd they get the pi and the square root? Where'd that come from? Sub-Saharan Africa too?
Got that from the Arabs was doing.
Where were the Arabs located? They were north of Egypt. The Arabs were north of Egypt.
The real name of the place, Sarge, is
the Arabian Peninsula is north of the African continent.
Sarge. There's nothing dividing it except the Mediterranean Sea.
Sir, now see, now you just want to make up some geography now.
No, I'm not making up nothing. That is the geography.
Okay, all right, fine, okay.
The Mediterranean
okay,
right
all right,
there.
All right. Okay.
We're talking about north of Egypt.
Okay.
Which is not Egypt, it's Kenya.
All right, so let me see, Now you're going to tell me that Euripides, Sophocles, Aristophanes, Aeschylus, Homer, all of them, they got taught by Africans from the Sinai Empire. Is that right?
From Kemet. They got all that from the
all of that. All of that.
Yes, sir.
From Plato.
Yes, sir.
Plato was studying.
Man, Plato was a homosexual.
Socrates
was a homosexual. Alexander the Barbarian was a homosexual.
300 years to be able to.
Well, he might have been. He was probably a bisexual, but
no, there ain't no might about it. There ain't no might about it, Sarge, because the elder just told you. Now,
well,
Alexander,
I think he was a bisexual. I think he was homosexual.
Okay, hold on. Alexander the Barbarian, okay, when he went across the Sahara, okay, he didn't take his woman with him. He took little boys. He was a pedophile, pedophilia's native to Europe, Sarge. Do you know what happened to an individual in the African Empire that went up there and said that he liked men? You know what they did to him, Sarge? And correct me if I'm wrong, Elder, is that they would tell that man, hey, man, you got one or two choices, man. You got like about less than 30 seconds to make up your mind. You can get up out of here, man, or we're going to kill you, period. That's
so what was the Prophet Muhammad? What was the Prophet Muhammad then?
Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah, probably not. You know, Alicia, what about Alicia? What was she? How old was she when he married her?
Wait. Prophet Muhammad, you said the man probably 1,400 years ago?
Yeah, I'm talking about the man in the 8th century. The 8th century Muhammad.
That was 7th century.
700 is the 8th century.
The man they call Prophet Muhammad was a poor man. A poor man, he was homeless because his mother and father died. His uncle raised him, okay? He was an orphan.
And who did he marry?
And he married Khadija. Khadija was
a
rich woman.
How old was she?
Wait a minute. She was older than him. Now, just a moment. When a woman gets rich in the East, either she got rich because her husband was rich, he died, or either she was a prostitute. That's the only way a woman gets rich in the East in those days, okay? So she had a caravan. So his uncle introduced him to her. So he worked on the caravan with her. And so after he was deaf, dumb, and blind, he couldn't read. There was no Quran there. He couldn't read or write. So when she died, she left everything to him by him not knowing how to, nothing about business and how to run business, everything. He gave everything away, okay? And then he latched on to Islam. Islam got better. He saw the poverty of his people, so he wanted to correct it. So he gathered, started teaching and running around in the camel. Then he went down into Mecca, and there was 360 idols down there. He cleaned that out and everything. And then everybody turned against him. Then he was he left Mecca and went to Medina and joined the black brothers there, the Abyssinians brothers. Okay, they taught him knowledge and stuff and everything, and then he only lived. He lived to be what? He was a Caucasian. He was a Caucasian man, right?
Mm.
And he didn't teach black people. He taught white people, white Arabs. He taught white Arabs. So, and when he got to about, he didn't get start getting busy until around he was 40, and then he taught for like 23 years. He died at the age of 63, and the reason why he died because he had a mental breakdown or either a heart attack, because he was trying to teach the Caucasian people, and his uncle told him, you can't teach those white people because you're Caucasian yourself. And so he died at a massive heart attack. He died. That's all. But he was only out there for like 23 years running around the desert. But he didn't build nothing. He didn't build nothing. And he never saw a Quran. There was no Quran there. That book was put together by Maulana Muhammad Ali and Yusuf Ali. They put that book together. And he told them before he died that 3 generations after me, you will be no longer of me. Okay?
And that's why the Islam they got out there today is not, it's a discrimination. You go into the East, that's Orthodox, what they call Orthodox and Sunni Islam, is discrimination big time. Okay?
Yeah.
The white Arabs control that over there. Brothers from here go over there back and forth, but they don't come back with nothing because it's a racist thing. It's a family thing over there. You know what I'm saying? And it's locked in where nobody, if you're not a member or married to the family or whatever, you don't you never be a part of it in a position of a controlling position. Now all the Arabs that you see come over here, it financed them because they want Black America to come over there to build. See, so now what they do, all these Arab stores you see, they don't have no money. They're financed. What the Muslims in the East do, they finance these here Arabs to come into, where they come into, all this in the Black community, with the stores, in the stores, what they do. Now, they sell alcohol, drugs. They don't eat the pork, but they sell to Black people in their community. So now in all these Arab stores in the community, they what? Alcohol, drugs, pork, and tobacco, and so forth. You understand what I'm trying to say? But all that's designed, I want you to understand, to keep the Black man down. That's designed to keep you down. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
now,
sir.
What they want you to do, here you're a Black man, strong, God, a Black God. So what they do? They want to put you in a nightgown over pantyhose, get you down your hands and knees, praying five times a day.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but what do you got? You got you got a Quran, and the money they get here, they send back over to the East. So you say, well, they're so successful, they're this. No, if you got five families living in a studio apartment, and everybody making $2, you put the $2 together, at the end of the day, you got $100. You understand? We are a luxurious living. We are used to luxurious living.
Right.
You understand? You follow what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
And then they add on the government. They add on to keep you down. They bring all these other the Africans, these different immigrants. All this is the whole upset because we are the builders. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, those of us who get in position to uplift the other people, we were poor, but then as we got $2, we became white. Now we are blacked against our own people, so that makes it a struggle for us to get where we want to go. Now we got a blockage with our own people. All over the country now, they know the immigrants. The immigrants. Why are them coming in? They got their own country. Why are you letting them come in? Because that's to block us, to block you.
Yeah.
You understand?
That's it.
Why you got open the door for Africans and Ukrainians and all these other people? Why?
Right.
To hold you back.
Yep.
You understand? Because now we got to the point of getting everything we want. We're getting to the point of accomplishing everything we want through the civil rights movement and all that kind of stuff. So we're getting everything. So as soon as we get to the point to receive everything that we're entitled to, they bring all these other people in here to block you. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Right.
That makes our struggle harder. Now you got the immigrants all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
Now you go to Midtown and they all sleep all in the parks and all the shelters is filled up and everything.
Right.
Now they stuck.
And then the sad part about that there, Elder, to prove your point even further, up there in Sarge's neck of the woods in the city of Chicago, man, they was letting the immigrants sleep on the floor at the police station.
Yeah.
Hey, you heard me complaining about it, didn't you?
And airport.
Right. Did you hear Mr. Blaine about that? Who you think let happen? Joe Biden did that. Joe Biden and Lester and Brandon Johnson did that.
Yeah. Now Chicago, New York, Chicago, and Philadelphia and Washington is infested with the homeless people now. Now they're stuck.
Right.
Yeah, and illegal aliens too.
Right. Right, now they're stuck because now they,
they ain't got no shelter for them. So they all have to
Joe Biden right. did that. Joe Biden did that.
I agree. Joe Biden did. Now, then you had to see a cracker from Texas. As he was coming in from Texas, he was shipping them. Guess what? He shipped them.
I'm glad he did, too. Nobody was paying any attention to it yet.
Good for him. He shipped them to all the states where it was black mayors. Black mayors.
Exactly. Governor Bud, great state Texas. That he did do, Elder. You're absolutely correct.
He shipped them all to the black mayors. Now the black mayors are stuck. New York is stuck. They got a mess now. They don't know how to handle it. Now they're putting on 600 more policemen by July or August or whatever. Because now they're all
in Midtown
amongst the white people who got condos down there paying $1 million, $2 million, $3 million for these apartments and everything. Now they're going to the stores, taking the food and stuff. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no food. So they're going to the stores taking the food.
Right.
Now the mayor of New York is going to give them a debit card. Where they can get food, I think $1,000 a month or something like that. They're going to start giving them.
No, it's $1,500, Elder. It's
$1,500. $1,500 a month. Right, now they're building shelters. Whatever hotel is vacant, they turn them into shelters. You understand? Now, last week, I think a week ago, they raided one of the houses where all those immigrants was at. Guess what they found?
Yeah.
Guns. And drugs.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Because that part.
When they got off the bus, they didn't go to no medical check. They didn't go to no screen check.
Exactly.
So you don't know what they had in them backpacks. Them backpacks.
Exactly.
But now they're all in the Roosevelt Hotel. It was a mess. The same mess that they made in the caves of Europe, they made right there in the Roosevelt Hotel. Because children drinking, smoking, getting high, nasty, cleaning, not bathing. Now they're all out in the street. When they got to relieve themselves, where they go? Behind the cars, in the bushes.
Where do they
take a shower at? Where would they clean? It's a mess. And you're going to see it. Because as the summer, when the weather gets warm, they're all out in the street, roaming around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now marijuana's legal. So they're getting the $1,500. They'll be buying marijuana with that. Okay.
Right.
It's a mess. Chaos is going to hit the street. And that's what's going to bring black people together, because one thing about black people, they don't come together and they don't function until they're under pressure.
Yep. That's
right. You don't face reality until you're under pressure.
Yep. Exactly.
When you're under pressure, it's a do or die thing. It's do or die. You're under pressure.
Right. Exactly. That part there, Elder. Okay. And I'm going to unmute Sarge, Elder, and I'm going to let him talk.
No problem.
And, okay. And then also, too, after Sarge speaks, okay, Brother T, then we're going to end it.
How long is your show?
Okay. Okay, it's 8:48 here, Elder. So therefore, it's 11:48 where you're at, Elder, in the East. It's 8:48 here, out here on the West. Okay, and this was a good show, and Elder, thank you so very, very much for joining us. We're gonna let Sarge respond, and then Lady Che had requested that we close out with Dr. Khalid Abdul-Mohammed, and I told her that we would do that. Do we have your approval for that, there, Elder?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I'm here until you finish.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Thank you, Elder. Okay. Everybody prepare themselves because Sarge is going to be long-winded. Okay, Sarge, since you're saying that we discriminating against you, man, we ain't giving you a chance to finish. We're giving you 2 minutes, Sarge. Okay. No reason to blow a gasket. Yeah, once again, Joe Gibson left with his tail between his legs again. You know what I'm saying? It was to be expected. Okay. All right, Sarge. Here we go. Coming out for the last round. Touch gloves. Box.
Maybe all them sanctuary city mayors like Let's Go Brandon Johnson and Lori Lightfoot and that fool Eric Adams and all them other dumb demon rat mayors should have been bragging about being sanctuary cities. All Governor Abbott did and Ron DeSantis did was to give them what they were asking for and bragging about. Maybe next time they won't open their big damn yaps and ask for it because they got what they deserve. And let me tell you, Donald John Trump, had he been in office, would not have allowed any of this to happen, or at the very least, it would have been definitely minimized. And you know it. I know it. The American people know it. And that's why we're going to vote these fools out in November. And see, that took me about 46 seconds. I'm not long-winded.
Okay,
no,
Sarge.
I agree with you, Sarge. I
agree with you. Trump will get wouldn't allow all that garbage coming in. I agree with you on that. He wanted to build a wall. He wanted to build a wall to keep him out of here. Remember, that was his program to build that wall, but they blocked him from building the wall. Yeah, that's the point I agree with.
Damn right.
But they're going to get out of here anyway. They're going to get
out of here.
Right
now, the border crossings in El Paso are down to double digits a month because that razor wall that Greg Abbott put up along with the National Guardsmen on the border has got the number of encounters at that location at Eagle Pass and in El Paso down to double digits a month. That route, they're going through Nevada, they're going through Arizona, and they're going to California because they can't get through in Texas because the wall works.
Okay, now guess what?
Okay, Sarge. Nevada is nowhere near Mexico.
Now the war.
I mean Nevada, Sarge.
They're infiltrating. They can't get through Texas anymore.
Right. Now, if the war breaks, the war spreads with Israel and Pakistanians and now Iran and all them, you know what they're going to do? The ones that the immigrants that's here? They'll put them in uniforms and put them on the front line.
That wouldn't be a good idea. That would be a lousy idea. It didn't work too good for the Romans.
They won't have no choice. They won't have no choice. But they're short of manpower.
How about not getting in a stupid war in the first place? That sounds to me like a really good choice.
No, the war's on. Iran already sent this over to Israel. And Israel will retaliate.
I think Israel can handle Iran on their own, to tell you the truth.
No way. But you got all the other Islamic countries going to join Iran.
We'll probably get involved if that happens. Then you're right. We'll probably get involved.
Iran, sorry.
You're going to get involved? Because America supports Israel with everything they have. Everything.
We have defense agreements with Israel. The United States has formal defense agreements with Israel. That's why.
United States has been supporting Israel ever since 1948. They built up Israel.
That's right. Well, not really. Not exactly.
1948, Israel's been in that area.
Not exactly. Israel didn't exist in 1917.
1948.
Please continue, Elder.
For 1948, America was sending, I think it was $2 billion a year over to Israel, even up to today.
Yep.
And then Biden make it plain in front of the world, we stand with Israel.
Right.
He did it plain. Okay. So now, the war is going to spread, and so maybe these immigrants, they'll put them in uniform and put them on the front line.
Bringing in a bunch of
that part, people. Elder. Okay. Okay,
because
Elder. Okay. I keep blazing dazed on them.
Because America don't have much of an army now, because what? Most of the men out there are homosexual.
Exactly. That part. Okay, Elder. Okay, I'm going to unmute Sarge. Okay, Elder. And then we're going to let Sarge be the last comment, okay, because Sarge is Sarge, Elder. And we want to thank you so very, very much, man, for dropping the knowledge that you did. We appreciate you taking the time. And then also, too, we're going to go out with Dr. Khalid Abdul-Mohammed, okay? And we're going to give Sarge 2 minutes, that is, if they don't end this episode before then. And thank you so very, very much, Elder McChesnik. It's always a pleasure. And I'll give you a call, man, first thing tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay,
no
Sarge.
Yeah, so put a
guess what
minutes.
You're going to do, Sarge, tonight.
And,
guess what you're getting ready to do, Sarge? You're getting ready to have the last word is because I'm exhausted, Sarge. I'm even muting me. Go ahead,
you ought
Sarge.
To be. I'm just getting started. I didn't get much chance to speak, so I'm not tired. I got plenty of energy yet. Look. And a UN Resolution 181 passed on 29 November 1947. There were something like 55 states voting to create Israel. 33 voted in favor of it, 13 against, and 10 abstained. So that meant that the United States was one of 33 states voting to create the state of Israel. The United States didn't have any formal agreements with the state of Israel until after the Six-Day War in 1967. So the fact that you're saying the United States formally, yeah, indirectly, people in the United States were aiding Israel, but there were no diplomatic agreements whatsoever between Israel and the United States until after the Six-Day War. So that's simply not true. Say the United States was a great supporter of the state of Israel. It didn't happen. It didn't happen until Richard Nixon got in office.
What are you talking about, Sergeant?
I thought I had 2 minutes. I ain't 2 minutes yet. I got at 49 seconds. Yeah, you guys don't keep your word when you tell me how much time I got, do you? One more thing I'd like to say is that I don't want to get into a war with or against Israel, okay? I don't want to get involved in it at all. This fool in the White House has made that far more likely that will occur. Mm-hmm. And we need to get rid of him and all the grotesque creatures in that administration that support it.
You get no argument from me, Sarge. On that.
God, cacistocracy is what we're governing us now.
Oh, boy, there's never a dull moment here. Shabaka's black experience in hand.
Pedophiles right there.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, we appreciate Sister Becca for... Okay, all righty. Okay, so what we're going to go on and do it with the closing statement. Sarge made his. Okay, Elder McChesnik made his. I made mine. Okay, your closing statement, Brother Jay. And once again, Elder McChesnik, thank you so very, very much for joining us tonight, sir, with the wisdom that you have dropped. You blazed and dazed. You leaned and sheened. You rumbled, young man, rumble. You ran Joe Gibson up out of here, you know what I'm saying? And that's one thing about Joe Gibson, when the heat gets on over here, you know, he runs, you know. But when I go on Joe Gibson's show, I'm called every black MF. I'm called every ignoramus. I've been called all kinds of stuff. And ladies and
gentlemen,
Joe Gibson... Yeah, and Joe Gibson, please keep those cards and letters coming. And by the way, Joe, when you spread your hate mail about me, please spell our name right.
Season 8, episode 30, with our elder guest, Benedict. We always appreciate you calling in, Benedict. You are about to be 90, if I'm not correct, if I'm not mistaken. Elder?
I think I'm trying to say again.
How old are you going to be, Elder?
How old am I, you said?
Yeah.
I'm 88.
That's right, okay.
Oh, man. Whoa,
congratulations there, sir. Whoa.
With no medical problems, no medical problems, and no medication.
I would have thought you were about 70 or 72.
If you go on Netflix and see me with Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali on Netflix, Blood Brothers.
Yeah,
I've seen that
absolutely.
Already. Yeah, I saw that.
Right.
And yes, look, right. Okay. What, at what point do you come on the show, on the documentary?
10 o'clock.
I was
with the FOI uniform.
Okay, I'll check that out. All right.
I introduced myself from the beginning of Melchizedek Shabazz Allah, the universal high priest of the Nation of Islam. I mean, you'll see it.
Yes, sir.
Go to Netflix, Blood Brothers.
Yeah, I've seen it already. I'm going to go watch it again.
Thank y'all for
you
tuning in.
You must have seen me with the FOI uniform. I was the only one with the FOI uniform on. And if you go to Baba TV, Every Time Fire. I got about maybe 20 interviews there. Sonnetta, House of Consciousness, Lance Shabazz, Infinite Law School. Just type my name in. Everything comes up.
I remember that.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and excuse the expression, ladies and gentlemen. Right now we're ghost talking because, you know, they ended the episode. And then, Elder, I'll give you a call tomorrow, sir, you know, to get some more of your infinite wisdom. And also, too, Elder, did this episode live up to your expectation as per your rules and regulations, sir?
Oh, beautiful. Excellent. Listen, when you teach it, see, when you have programs like this, remember, you're in front of a variety of people.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Intelligent people. You want to bring people to the program. You don't want to turn them off the program. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you keep it on a
yes, sir.
Say what you got to say, but on a respectful level. Don't change up your ideas. Whatever you're going to speak about, whatever the topic is, stay with your topic, you understand?
Yeah.
But do it respectfully where it can be accepted by everybody. You understand?
Yes, sir. Okay, Elder noted, man, and thank you so very, very much. Okay. Yes, sir. And it was most definitely a... Yes, sir. Okay, and thank you once again, Elder. Always, okay.
Peace and love to everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay,
right,
thank you, Elder.
For this season 8, episode 30 of Shabaka's Black Experience in Hemp, in conjunction with Frontline Black News. Peace, Black Power.
Always.
Tomorrow, I guess, for the RBA. Lady Chase should be doing the RBA tomorrow. And then,
okay.
Grand Rising with Shabaka this Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
We haven't come up with a topic.
All right.
We will have a topic by then.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We will have a topic by then. And also, too, Brother Che, let Lady Che know is that since they pulled the plug on us, since we went into overtime, we will play Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad this Friday for her, because she did request that.
But we can still... for the plug, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, because we're ghost talking now. You know what I'm saying? Meaning it's just you and I talking. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else is off, man. Okay. So once again, we appreciate it. Okay. All right. We're out. Okay. Okay. All right.
You can come over to the
StreamYard, Shabaka. Okay, I'll see what I can do. I should see you over there shortly.
Okay.